Blog Talk Radio.
But they not listening. You wanna be just like me, I'm a classy girl. But after the kids, they take me, I'm a bashy girl. The train wanna play all day, cause I'm a nasty girl. If you wanna be just like me, I'm a classy girl. I'm a nasty girl. I'm a bashy girl. I'm a nasty girl. I'm a classy girl. If you wanna be just like me, look up to the kids, they take me. The train wanna play all day, cause
damn it.
I'm a beat. company.
You in the company.
You in the company.
So what?
I see it is all cunt bitches have 9 lives. Your pussy, right? So let's count them down. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Like I said, your pussy, right? You're not ready for this.
A 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, get your life. I am the pussycat, I got 9 lives. The girl's going up and giving you life. Don't fuck it up cause you don't got time. Bitch, go off cause it's a showdown. A pussy showdown. Pussy showdown. I am the sushi, I am the fish. Give me back my tilapia, bitch. It's a countdown to the showdown. Now it's time for you to show out. Bitch, you ready? Now let's count down.
rocking brand new white Tim. I ain't even gonna mess with him. I love him, I hate him. I just wanna be with him. Fuck the boy, he chillin' with him. Fuck the girl, he chillin' with. She got the biggest dick. The dick got a bigger dick. But I'm the shit, I'm the bitch. You can't help it, want this. Stop your fin, keep flipping. I'm the shit, I'm the shit. I'm the shit, I'm the shit. I'm the shit, I'm the shit.
Domination 2, the Revenge Edition, Saturday, May 18th in Atlanta, Georgia. Mini Grand, Big Girl's Face for $500. This will be the first category of the evening. $500 for Butch Queen Realness, 5 trophies. Thugs versus Pretty Boy versus Schoolboy versus Executive versus Legend. One cash winner. Grand prize, $1,013 for Butch Queen Foot and Eyewear, 2013 Spring Summer Edition. That's the World Domination Ball 2, the Revenge Edition. Hosted by Elijah Ebony and Jay Blonick. The location, 431 Fair Street, Southwest, Atlanta, Georgia. Doors open at 5 p.m., LSS at 7:30. $30 all night. First cash category will be at 8 p.m. And again, that's Mini Grand Big Girl's Face. Tables, $100. Fully stocked. And I mean fully stocked. First come, first serve. Again, that's the World Domination Ball 2, the Revenge Edition. For more information, contact Father Brandon Lovin on Facebook. Also, that next day, Sunday, May 19th, there will be a kickball and spades tournament. North Carolina versus South Carolina versus ATL versus Alabama versus Florida versus the DMV. No house affiliation, just state versus state. Free food and refreshments. The winners of the kickball game will receive a big trophy, and the spades winners will receive cash prizes. Again, that's the World Domination Ball 2, the Revenge Edition, Saturday, May 18th, and the Kickball and Spades Tournament, Sunday, May 19th, in Atlanta, Georgia. And again, for more information, contact Brandon Lovin on Facebook or visit the event page for more detailed information. Overall, Father Tony Petrucci and Mother Kiki Carson present the first annual Western New York People's Choice Awards Ball. There's no biz like showbiz. Mini grants include 250 Butch Queen Face, the Extraterrestrial, 500 Open to All Performance, the Showstopper, 500 Butch Queen Runway, Junkyard Wars, 500 Team Sex Siren, Sports Couple of the Year, 500 Female Figure Face, the Leading Lady, 1,500 Between Realness with a Twist, Artist of the Century, as well as $1,000 to the house with the most points. The first annual Western New York People's Choice Awards Ball. There's no biz like showbiz. Saturday, April 27th at 8:30 p.m. Location, the Holiday Inn, Buffalo Downtown, 620 Delaware Avenue, Buffalo, New York. Admission, $20. Tables, $100. This ball has been created for the people, by the people. Hosted by Mother and Father WNY, Mother Kiki Carson, and overall Father Tony Pachotti. For any details and information, contact Kiki Carson and Tony Pachotti on Facebook or visit the event page for detailed information. The legendary House of Escada presents Mission Possible House Ball, April 13th, 2013, in Dallas, Texas. Every single category is for cash. Grand prize, runway for $1,000. Mini grands include Butch Queen Legendary Performance for $500. Butch Queen Trilogy, Face, Body, and Realness for $500. Sen Queen Trilogy, Face, Body, and Realness for $500. Sex Siren for $500. Open to All Performance for $500. 60 Seconds of Fame Performance. Sing, Dance, or Lip Sync for $250. This will be an early event, with doors opening at 6 p.m. and LSS starting promptly at 7 p.m., followed by Grand March. Admission to this event is $30. Tables are $100 if purchased by April 1st, $150 afterwards. Free admission given to everyone tested, and the house or family with the most members tested receives $1,000. Second place house or family receives $500, sponsored by Abounding Prosperity. The icons, Jack and Selvin Mizrahi, will be on the mic. The location, the luxurious Dallas Informant Building, located at 1950 North Stemmons Freeway in Dallas, Texas. Please contact Father Danny Escada for questions, for host hotel info, or for table purchases at 972-370-6473. Or the overall Father Neiman Marcus Escada via Facebook at Marcus Fox. Also, visit the event page on Facebook, Escada Mission Possible House Ball, for detailed information.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the State of Emergency Show. I am your host, Jasmine Couture. How's everybody doing out there? Hi. Mona, you are key. You just don't stop. Oh, boy, there's so much to talk about. Like, you guys all hit me at the same time with so much stuff, like at 11 o'clock. I know, right, Misty? I really do. I've said that. I mean, people have said that to me all the time. Wow. Okay, I don't know where to start, but honey, I'm going to be all over the place. Hey, Tanya, how are you, sweetie? Okay, y'all need to stop hitting me up all the time. I mean, stop. There's so much going on right now. All right, I have a whole bunch of stuff to talk about. Tonight's topic, we are going to talk about STDs. April is STD Awareness Month, and we are going to start off the show with talking about STDs and basically making you aware of the sexually transmitted diseases that are out there. It's not always about HIV, even though that is one of them. But there are so many other things out there that we just don't talk about. Chlamydia, herpes, syphilis, gonorrhea, hepatitis, warts, you know, genital warts, HPV. It's so many things out there that we just don't talk about because we're just either ashamed or we just sweep it underneath the carpet and we don't want to harbor on them. But we need to. There's a lot of things out there, not just HIV. There's a lot of things out there that we need to be aware of. We all need to be practicing safe sex. This week I've seen some stuff on video in the groups and stuff, which are really starting to irritate me. I'll touch upon that in a second. But, oh, my God, really? Like, seriously? I mean, the show can last for 8 hours because there's so much really to talk about, from all this unprotected sex and porn and everything that's happening. Like, really, what is happening out there? And what are people doing? And there's so many sexual acts that are being practiced, golden showers and people shitting on each other, and it's just a lot of things that are being done. And it's just completely, completely disgusting. People are having sex without condoms. And people are not protecting themselves. People are not making each other aware, or they're not testing with each other, and they're not knowing their status. They're not even going out there caring, where people are violating the next individual because they don't care no more because they feel violated. There's just a lot of things that are out there that is happening, and tonight we are going to talk about it. We also have seen a video this week in the group from an individual in California who shared their story with us. And that person may be coming on the line tonight to talk about their situation and share, you know, a little bit about who they are, the reason why they made the video, and little things like that with us tonight. So if you guys seen the video, which I'm sure you guys did because there was a whole bunch of comments underneath it, the person may be coming on the air tonight. So be prepared for that. So before we go any further, hi, sweetie, how are you? Hi. Before we go into that, I want to bring something to everybody's attention. Okay, let me just, I got all these screens up. We have a lot of stuff that we need to worry about, and we kind of focus on some of the wrong things. And one of the things that nobody really discusses, because I haven't really seen it in the group, is what is going on with Korea and the United States. It looks like we may be at war with Korea. Now, to my understanding, and thank you, Jacob, and Atlantis sent me some of the information over, but I was getting everything prepared. But to my understanding, America is already putting in place, military people and stuff like that in action to shoot down any missiles that Korea may be sending over here, because they said that they're about to attack America because they do not want to stop, or they want to reopen nuclear weapons, you know, their facility that creates nuclear weapons. And they're not going to listen to United States, the United Nations, and they're going to continue to do what they want to do, and they are going to attack America. How prepared are you guys if an attack does take place? Or are y'all just going to leave it in the hands of everyone else? See, this is that shit that Naima be talking about. This is the stuff that Naima be talking about. Everybody's sitting here saying, Naima, oh, God, you know, da-da-da-da-da. But Naima be trying to keep it real with you guys, and it's really true. Y'all need to really do some real research. Stop worrying about all this porn and all the rest of this stuff and what's happening in these groups, and start getting yourself prepared. Because if these motherfuckers sit here and start bombing us, then y'all gonna sit there and be gagging. So there's some serious shit out there besides the whole STDs and porn and shitting on people and all the rest of that stuff. Bitch, a nuclear bomb may come over y'all way. My way, all of our way. So get it together, seriously. Start doing your research. Start getting your canned goods together and get your little weapons together and stuff, because it might turn into a big thing. And about these groups, and to the one individual who is making the attack, I told you I'm going to read you too, but I'm not going to read you in a fierce way, but I'm going to read you. Those queens that I had raw sex. Okay. Listen, X-Men, what I'm trying to get my point to you is this. Number one, for anyone that knows me, I do not sit in these groups and babysit these groups at all. So if you want to reach out to me and contact me, either you call me up or if you don't have my number, inbox me or just find a way to reach me, contact Kelly or contact somebody and hit me up or whatever. But it's not just about me as well. Now, if anybody feels that there's something in the official Ballroom Radio Station chat that should not be there, best believe you can contact one of the administrators, Kelly, myself, Jason, or whoever, and bring it to our attention if something is there in there that should not be in there. Or if somebody is personally attacking you, so forth and so on, and we'll look into it and see what's up and try to get it removed. But all the little threats and all the rest of that stuff, that doesn't change nothing. That don't make nobody move quicker. That don't make nothing happen. Actually, all that does is just push a person aside. Now, I'm a nice person, and I'm very kind, and I will look into it. But if you start with the attacks and all the rest of that stuff, then all that's going to do is just say, child, this person is not respecting the situation, and it's just going to make me not respect the situation. But when it comes to these groups, y'all really need to start toning it down because y'all clearly are carrying, especially the SPs. Y'all really are taking shit and taking it to that level of where it's getting personal with a lot of people. Now, on one hand, I understand what you guys are saying. They shouldn't put themselves out there. And if they put themselves out there, then what's going to happen is it's going to be used against you. And that is true. Bottom line is sometimes what you do in the dark will definitely come to the light. And sometimes people's past will creep up on you. But what do you do at that point? Show these people that you, if you're not doing that stuff no more or you're making a better life for yourself, either one, you ignore it and remove yourself from the situation, move yourself from the equation, or number two, just pay it and continue to do what you're doing that's positive. But going back and forth and making these threats and stuff, that's not going to go get anybody. That's not going to change nothing. All that's going to do is make people get angrier, and they're going to continue. And that's my point and the point that I'm trying to make. But when you guys sit here and start falsifying information about people, then y'all need to stop because there's a lot of situations out there that are real. There's a lot of situations out there that really change people's lives and puts them in bad places. What are you saying? Like, you're very, okay, this is what you do. Hold on a second. Okay, I'm actually talking, though. Let me finish talking before we get to that point. And that's something I wasn't aware of. But let me finish talking before we get to that point. And then, really start getting people. Now, we told y'all before about getting people's families involved. So y'all need to stop with that as well. Come on now, really, really cut it out. Kelly made a post earlier that when we start seeing these new pictures or whatever, we are going to start removing them. And if they continue, we're going to remove you from the group. That y'all have to start respecting that. Please, start respecting that and stop getting people's families involved. Y'all really need to stop that. This is the second time they've got people's family involved. Why not do a shit like that? Ugh. This has got to turn into a whole new show. So I don't know. I'm going to bring you on in a second. But actually, I'm going to bring you on. You're on the air. Oh, oops. You're on the air now.
Hey, Jasmine.
Hello.
Oh, Jasmine, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
How are you?
I'm fine.
Good. Well, first of all, let me apologize to you for the message that I sent you in regards to saying that you are one of the people that are creating the problem in the scene, basically saying that you guys are creating a problem and creating a bad platform. I do want to kind of retract my statement on that because it's not you personally. It is your followers. First, I want to start off by saying I'm a strong person, first of all, but it's kind of different when you guys starting to get people's families involved. You're playing with my real mother. You're not playing. Right. You're not playing. Hold on, please just let me talk. You're not playing with Sasha anymore. You're not playing with Gia. Stop playing with these people that I've taken on as other roles. You're playing with my real mother. My mom has been nothing but support me with this gay lifestyle, with me being in the ballroom scene and all that. Like, this is really actually making me emotional right now, because that's really sad that you sickening-ass bitches, some of you sickening bitches that have bitter lives and are upset with yourself would actually sit there, do research, find my mom, and you have to really realize my mother knows. Hold on, let me go outside. Come on. Can you hear me now, Jasmine?
I can hear you.
I'm sorry. But like I said, my mother knows about everything I've did. She's been nothing but support me with this gay lifestyle and all that. Even with ballroom scene, she's seen negativity. She's seen the negative stuff that goes on, and she still supports me with it. So for you guys to sit there and actually go contact her and send her stuff like that, that is really tasteless and classless. I don't do that shit to nobody. I don't just come out of nowhere and just start reading people, talking nasty to people, being rude for no reason. I don't do that. There's no reason for me to do that. And it's really sad. Like I said, you guys are fucking making the people, you guys are driving people away from this scene that actually have talent. And not even just talent in the ballroom scene. They have talent outside of the ballroom scene. I've had two opportunities in which two different people said, oh, you're in the ballroom scene. How does that go? And I explained it to them, and they wanted to provide money to do, to like sponsorship. I said, no. What the fuck do I look like putting my name attached to something when you guys do shit like this? This shit is malice and malicious. Why would you, like, I don't understand. Like, I'm really flabbergasted that you would contact my mother, my fucking real mother, and do that. Like, that's really sad. That's really sad. Really. But on another note, trust me, I know what I did in my past. I mean, it's no secret now. Everybody knows I did porn. That was 5 years ago. I did that when I was 18 years old. When I was young, I was dumb. Really not dumb. You want to know the real reason? I wanted to go to Miami and have fun. Like, for real, if you really want to tell the truth. Like, so don't get it twisted. Like, I know every mistake and every decision I've made, I knew the consequences that potentially might come with it. But guess what? If you've been following me like some of you bitches do, you would know it hasn't stopped me not one bit. Not one bit. Not one bit. And it's not going to stop me. Y'all say stupid shit. Oh, what is the firm going to think? All that. You sound stupid. You sound dumb.
Let me ask you a question. Ugh. Let me ask you a question. Now, you just said that you are aware that you made mistakes and you knew there was going to be consequences. So does it surprise you that this is happening, or is it just more or less because they contacted your mother that has...
Well, Jasmine, it's honestly because they contacted my mother. I mean, come on now, let's be realistic. I've been in this scene for 4 years now, so I've been used to my pictures coming out. I mean, come on now. And like someone in the group said, you did it on the internet. It's going to go to the World Wide Web. You dumb bitch. You don't think I knew that? That only makes sense that it'll go to the World Wide Web. If it's on the internet, that means anybody can access it. Anything you do on the internet, guys, if you don't know, whatever, everything you delete, you know, all those negative comments and nasty things you said that I'm going to report, they're not deleted, fools. Just like the things I did, they're never going to be deleted, fools. I understand that. I know that. It's not about that. It's when you start contacting my mother and you start just attacking me for no reason. Why just all of a sudden just post about X-Men in a group? X-Men ain't did anything to anybody. X-Men minding his business. X-Men's trying to do positive things and still participate in the scene. But you bitches is making people like me not even want to participate because y'all do shit like this.
Okay.
And that's just point blank. I honestly feel, Jasmine, one more thing, and this is just being real, and this is no attack on you or Kelly, but I really feel that this platform that you guys have created has nothing but being negative. It started positive, but it's turned into this platform where people get these screen names and they just read people and they just say negative and hurtful things.
And it just bedazzles me because it's the same. It's these same people that I sit back and look, and you guys call yourself leaders. And I'm talking to you, but don't please don't take it personal. Like, I'm talking to you on a sense, but please don't take it too personal. You guys sit here, like I said, sit here and call yourselves leaders, but you guys promote and allow this type of stuff to go on. And that's the problem with this scene now. These old people, just because you guys are so old or you guys think you guys have the solution for everything, if you guys would just sit the fuck back and let some other people who have a little knowledge kind of start maturing them and letting them run some shit, maybe this shit will change around, because, like, it's the leaders, as I see this, causing the problem. The leaders. Like, I've seen several situations where leaders have been totally disrespectful. Like, you, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Okay, all right.
It's ridiculous.
Listen, okay, you're venting, which is fine. You have a right to vent. So let me say something, and don't go back and forth about it. Let me say something. First of all, the platform is created for the listener, okay? You can't blame the people that create the platform when anything negative is happening, because that is what happens in general. That is just what's going to happen. When the city creates public housing and everything, just because violence happens in public housing, it is not the city's fault. It's the people
that
are
actually... Right, but they do, Jasmine, with that, they do do things to rectify those situations. They do things... No, because, Jasmine, I know what this is about to turn into. Go ahead. Go ahead, Jasmine.
Okay, this is what I do. I'm going to mute you because I have to mute you because I don't like... you know, all that talking back and forth. And this is not really tonight's topic, but listen to me what I'm saying. I understand your passion, and I do agree with you 100%, so I don't want you to think that I don't agree with you. You are going through something, and they should not be releasing that information, and they should not be contacting your parents or your mother. But the bottom line is, do not point the finger at Kelly or Jasmine or this show or our platform as we are the cause of this, because we are not the cause of this. That is what the people do. When we create this platform, this show is based on the listeners giving the people the opportunity to say what they want, to give the people the opportunity to express themselves. And that is how the show is created, for the people to say. That is what radio is. That is where people can call in and say what they want to say. That is how the show is created. Now, they may be taking it to another level, and sometimes they should. They shouldn't do what they do. But in all honesty, what you have to understand, and it's this simple, and then I'm changing the topic. I understand you, and again, please don't feel what I'm saying is an attack on you. But the bottom line is, Facebook gave a group to people, gives people an opportunity to create a group. If anything happens in that group that people don't agree with, then complain about it. Complain about it. Report it. That is your option, to report it. And if Facebook feels that something is wrong, they will ban it. They will close it. That's all you have to do. But no one is going to sit here and erase, or, you know, if we can't see it when it's happening, there's nothing that we can do about it, especially when it comes to fake profiles. No one has time to babysit fake profiles. I don't see your number. Where are you? No one has time to babysit them. I know I don't. And it's because I have a job, I'm sitting here busy, Kelly's doing her thing, Jason's doing his thing, we're not giving access to a million people, so we can't control it. So if you can't reach us, then just report it. That's all you can do. And if the room gets shut down, it just gets shut down. I don't agree with it. That's my personal thing, and I still don't see your number. I don't agree with it, but I'm just telling you, do what you have to do. But come on now, don't blame Kelly or myself, because it's not our fault. That's how the show is. So, we're going to leave it at that. I'm sorry to feel the way that you do. This don't have to do with STDs. And I need a cigarette. Where are you? How am I going to bring you on if I don't see you? Where are you? If you're on the phone line, please press 1. I'm about to bring my panelists on really quickly. Naima, you're on the air.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, how are you? How you doing?
I'm good. Just good, honey. Just sitting here and with my acid reflux over here messing with me because I wanted to be cute and eat this spicy food earlier, honey, and now I'm over here gagging. But it seems like this show is going to be very interesting tonight.
Wednesday's is the key to me now.
Go ahead, I'm sorry. I was saying, don't get ready. Log in on my computer because I haven't logged in my computer in such a long time. I'm always on my phone. So now I finally got a free night and free time to myself. I had to log into this computer and see what this chat room was giving in a second. But other than that, though, you know, I'm here. I'm queer and I'm loving it.
That's your queer. Ew. You know, me and you are going to have a one-on-one because you're Karen.
Who?
I'm queer.
Yes, I'm here and I'm queer.
Jason, you're on the air. I was about to get
you want to be just like me.
I was about to say, speaking of queer, Jason, you're on the air.
I'm not queer. I'm a fucking lady. Hello, everyone. How are you?
Hey, Jason. I need you to sing that song.
I'll sing it before we go off the show tonight.
All right.
Mm-mm. We have a special guest from Miami that's on the air. Trigger Ebony, you're on the air. He's sitting with us tonight.
Oh,
hello.
He is.
Hey, Trigger.
How you doing, Jasmine?
How are you?
I'm fine. Just laying down.
Well, honey, you need to sit up for the show. You just can't be laying down.
This is not
the chat line. Mark Ebony, you're on the air.
Yeah, this feel like the Ebony house.
Calm down.
Mark?
Jason, don't try it. Hey, y'all. What's up, everybody?
Hey, Mark.
Hey, Naima. That was a lot, Jasmine, for that little...
I know, it's about to get a lot of, because, you know, the bad side is about to come on any second before that. Enrique, you're on the air.
Hey, everybody. What's going on?
Enrique.
Yeah, that was a lot. Hey, everybody. I kind of understood
all right,
how
well,
I felt.
Y'all heard my opinion, and I call my side the good side, but here goes the bad side. Kelly, you're on the air.
I just want to say to Ed, and I want to go back to what I'm doing. And one more motherfucking person says that me and my sister are responsible for what these motherfucking fake profiles going to do, what they do in these rooms, and they do on this radio show. Y'all girls are going to learn my motherfucking rap, okay? I'm not here to babysit any motherfucking body or police any motherfucking group this day. I do you girls a favor when they motherfucking post those pictures up and I take them down. And for you bitches to want to sit here and blame me and my motherfucking sister for what these girls do, bitch, I know you girls don't want my motherfucking rap. Because I still get emails of pictures and everything all motherfucking day long. And I'll bring y'all the motherfucking noise. So do not blame me and my sister ever again. And I'll be back. When I finish with my real family, and I thank you. You can hit me back home.
Thank you, Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
See, I try to do it without
the threats.
You know,
just like me, I'm a nasty
girl. We're going to start with the threats, though. Now, come on. I was threatened that I was going to be sued today, bitch. I keep.
I was threatened I was
so
going to be
sued. Loud. They were going to sue me because of what profiles were putting in the chat room. Jesus.
Come on, Sam.
323-286, you're on the air.
This is Michi.
Hey,
Michi.
You're not even giving your number, Michi.
Michi, not an Ebony, Jason.
Yeah, okay. Once Ebony, always an Ebony.
Oh, Chad, wow. You beat that line.
Hi, Mark. How are you doing, brother? Hi, Jazz.
Hi, Nikki. Hi.
Hi, Naima.
Hey.
Hi, Trigger. How are you?
I'm fine.
Oh, okay.
Oh, it's shade against the Lords. Okay, I see.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hey, Enrique. Yeah, let me say hi to the Lords for my father called me. He's trying to try y'all. Okay.
All right, let me go to a private caller real quick because I don't know if it's Granny or not. See, Granny, I'm giving you a shout out. But private caller on the air.
Yes, Auntie Boo. Oh my God.
Let me talk to Boots real quick. Let me talk to Boots real quick. Boots, what do you think about all this shit? Really?
Jasmine, you gotta speak Boots. She said it's a fucking fool.
Can you ask her what she would do?
Boots, what would you do if somebody said they was going to sue you over you doing porn? She said she would pay it because it's on public. It's public information, and anybody can get online and find it or see it. So.
And she said. She said you got to leave it up to God too.
It sounds like to me like she said that she was going to tip behind that bitch and knock him in the motherfucking lip. Well, thank you, Boo. I'm going to put you on hold.
Yes, Boo.
I need to stop that.
That's so mean. Yes, Boots. You better call in, Boots.
I mean, seriously, though, y'all need to really stop, though. Like, come on now. If that child made his video or whatever, at least, I don't know.
Jasmine, what are we going to do, you know what I mean, when a bunch of fake profiles or people that are real, create avatars and then want to attack you? What are we supposed to do as regular people?
This is what I say, and this is something that I've learned, you know what I'm saying? Even with celebrities, they say the same thing. And that's something that everybody needs to listen to. I've said this a million times. I used to go through it, too, as well. But the bottom line is, the old saying is don't read the blog. Do not read what people are going to say about you. When you put yourself out there in the limelight and you put yourself out there in the center of attention, people are going to be so opinionated on you. They are always going to say something about you, and a lot of them are not going to say anything positive because a lot of people just do not harbor on positive. They harbor on negativity. So the bottom line is when you put yourself out there, we see it with so many celebrities. We see it with politicians, the president. We see it with everybody out there. Someone is always going to say something negative about you. If you are a strong individual, if you are a strong-minded individual, you will not let it get to you. But I don't agree when it starts getting into the personal family situation. But in all honesty, if your family is aware of your situation, then that is something that you have to sit down and also let them know. Because with the positive that you're doing, also prepare the positive for some negativity that may come your way and have your family be prepared for that as well. If you let your family know, mom, dad, family, this is what I did, and this may come back to haunt me later on in the future or so forth and so on, then your family will be those main ones that will accept you with the good or the bad, and they will be by your side. So that's just something that you need to kind of think about a little bit. Again, I don't agree with it. I think it's kind of wrong. It is wrong, not kind of wrong. It is wrong. I know that you guys really kind of go for the blood, and, it's just really a mess. But, you just got to prepare yourself for it. Bottom line is prepare yourself. If you make mistakes, and to all you young people out there now that are doing these things, and that's what tonight's show is about, really, you need to prepare yourself. Listen to these people. We're going to have a caller on there that's going to share his story with us as well. But listen to these people. Right now, you may think that everything you're doing is all good and dandy and stuff, but a few years from now when it starts getting old and it's not going in the right direction or it's just worn out, it may come back to haunt you. It really, really may come back to haunt you. So really prepare yourself for it. And if you have a family that's there by your side, prepare them as well. Prepare them as well. So that's the only thing that I can say. Again, I don't agree with it. I sympathize with you guys, and I'm sorry that it's happening, and I wish it was different. But, again, there's really nothing that we can do. But you can't point your fingers at us. That's not our fault.
I know, but let me just play devil's advocate because, you know, I'm all for the break phone calls. Hey, Icon Law, because I live. But there are times where, like, I always say this to Mark and Jason, you know, because I kind of take ballroom, official ballroom as my play group, my little boy group. But in my grown people group, they do have some type of order of decorum in there because people know there's guidelines and boundaries you can't cross. And if you do cross those boundaries and stuff, they instantly kick you out and permanently block you so that you can't reenter or something like that. So if you block, not to say that you should, but if you were to block a couple of people, that would kind of set a tone, and that would kind of make it cool. Even let me even make it hot. Even in certain these groups, like in like the smut groups, if you put out a picture or if you share something that's in a group, you will be kicked out. So people will be paying it and won't do none of that. So, you know, there are some kind of provisions you guys could do as a group, but I know the official ballroom is a free-for-all and anything goes type group and stuff, but there are other groups that do have some type of boundaries and stuff like that, and people do abide by them, because if you don't, then you'll be booted out. Ask Milan.
The official radio station chat, that's why it's called the radio station chat. It's pretty much a free-for-all. You know, the only thing that we ask is that you don't post up those nude pictures, and, you know, that's pretty much it. You know, we take them down, and no free promotion, bottom line. But as far as all that other stuff goes, I mean, nobody's going to sit there and go through all that. Who's really going to have the time to go through all that? Now, if it was a different type of group that was based on certain things and they were taking it to another level, then it would be something completely different, like the book club. You know, if people were in the book club and they're sitting there talking about people's health statuses and shit like that, come on now, get rid of that. Nobody wants to hear that. That's not what people are in there for. But the radio station chat is based on the radio station, based on the kiki nights, the tea-spilling nights, the gossiping nights, who did what, who got arrested, who did all this recap nights. It's based on pretty much a free-for-all, and that's what's going to happen in that room. But again, I do agree, if it does get too personal, then people maybe should be banned and kicked out permanently. But when it comes to these profiles, how many people are getting banned and kicked out by Facebook alone, and what are they doing 5 minutes later, creating a whole new profile, reloaded, remixed? You know, it's just happening. What can you do? Nobody's going to chase around these people every 5 minutes.
Right.
But let's get to the next topic. We're talking about STDs. April is STD Awareness Month. And, you know, we're pretty much going to be talking about a little bit of, you know, some of the STDs that are out there and just kind of pretty much bringing awareness to them. A lot of people always are harboring on HIV and things of that sort, but a lot of stuff has been coming across my screen. You know, high counts of, you know, hepatitis and meningitis and things of that sort, especially in the New York area. You know, I read something earlier today that transgenders are, you know, something that with the transgenders now are higher at a higher rate of HIV more than anyone else. You know, the syphilis outbreak here, herpes outbreak there, so forth and so on. I want to get everybody's opinion on these STDs and what people are seeing, you know, what you guys feel about them or anything that you may want to share with us or any type of prevention, awareness, stories, anything that you want to say about STDs in general, any type of, you know, medication or anything you want to just share about STDs, period, that maybe people may not know or that something that you may be aware of that they may not be aware of or anything. And I'm going to start with you guys in the order that you guys called in. Naima, you are the first one.
Okay, what's the question now?
Anything about STDs. Tonight's topic.
You said STDs?
Yes.
What do I think about it?
Like, what is your opinion on, not opinion, but anything you want to share about the topic itself?
Well, and this is my own opinion, I feel that STDs is are diseases that were man-made afflictions to cause people pain, cause you discomfort, cause you, you know, illness. Another way of making people to conform to the control of the bigger people who are trying to control us. It's just everything to me is just about control. And I think it's just, it's sad that we live in a cursed world like this, that people play judge, jury, and God on our time. But that's what I really think about it. I think it's something that, you know, yes, you do need to be aware of it, and you need to protect yourself when you can. And, you know, and use discretion, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you know what's out there, you know it's real, shit's real. You just use your discretion, you know, and things like that. You just have to be careful in everything, because it's not just diseases, like you said, Jazz, with HIV or other diseases killing people. You can walk out your front door and get shot dead, go off a bed, you know, get hit by a bus or anything like that, you know. You just have to be careful in everything and anything that you do. That's how I see it.
All right, so speaking to the young generation, what would you say to them in general that don't take STDs serious, even though you feel that it's man-made and stuff, but what would you say to the young ones that are just out there running rampant and they're not even thinking, or they're just, you know, thinking that they're going to just get a swab test and realize that, oh, I'm HIV negative, but they're not running to the doctor to check for any of these other hundreds of STDs that are out there?
Right. Well, I tell you one thing. I know I made a key yesterday when I said that, but if you unzip them pants and that meat fall off, or if you don't, you know, cut up with somebody and y'all had natural sex, or and you start leaking, or and the ass starts itching or something like that, honey, then I think that'll be time, or you see blood in the urine, I think that'll be time for you to go see a doctor, because just because you did a swab test, like you said, and, you know, you may have gotten the green light. See, what people don't understand is that if you want to talk about the virus or anything like that, it stays dormant in your system, you know, anywhere from 6 months, maybe sometimes up to 10 years, depending on your activity and how active you are. So, you know, you'll find some people get very, oh, this bitch gave me, you know, the candy or the clap, whatever they want to call it or what have you, or she gave me the gift that keeps on giving. And you may have already had it, but you didn't know it, or you may have suspected it, but because you cut up with this one person or whatever like that, you know, they put some ingredients up in your cauldron, honey, and the next thing you know, it was ready to eat, it was ready to serve. And, you know, these young kids out here that's just running amok, you know, that's just doing whatever, cutting up just because, you know, the feeling, or, you know, be like, oh, that's the trade, I'll listen to him. You got some kids that are young, Jasmine, that are get up and drag because the boys that they really want to have don't want to have a boys like them or ones that look like them. They want to have with the girls, so they'll just throw on a gilda, flat-chested, socks, whatever like that, no type of body, no type of anything. And they ready to have, they ready to cut up or whatever like that, and they having a trade naturally and they just paying it. And, I mean, in the long run, they're like, oh, well, you know, I did what I did or what have you like that. And you got some people out here who are purposely knowing that they cheat and purposely want to give it to everybody. They're like, fuck it. I'm going out of here, bitch. I'm taking every bitch down with me. And, you know, it's just sad. You know, I don't mean to drag it on or whatever, but, I mean, I just feel like, you know, if you know, then you can protect yourself and you can help yourself. If you don't, you can't really be faulted for it. But if you know and you're still doing it, and you're paying it, then yeah, you can't be held accountable for it. I mean, you know, it is what it is.
Okay, Jason, your opinion or anything you want to share?
I'm here tonight just to bring enlightenment and get enlightenment to what the play that I was in is basically all about. I'm not going to play judge, jury, or executioner. There are a lot of things out there that's going on. People are just, who am I to judge you when there are things that I do too? But people just need to be aware that you just can't take a pill, get a shot, and move on with your life. that's just not the answer. You got kids out here falling in love with men that, and they're giving up their virginity to men that, because they're telling them that I love you, and then 3 months down the road, 5 months down the road or whatever, they find out that they got herpes or something else because they're just doing, because this is somebody that I love. And if I loved you, yes, sometimes it does take up, it takes a minute or two and you get out of the moment because you got to reach for that condom, but I'd rather reach for that condom and save my life than not reach for that condom and find out 6 months, 3 months, 2 months down the road, I have something that I possibly can't get rid of.
Okay. Let me go to Trigger. Trigger?
Yes, I'm here.
What's your take on all this?
You know, at the end of the day, we have to all be accountable for ourselves. And it's unfortunate that some of the youth are misguided. And due to social media, due to the people they hang around, they just really got a messed up picture of what HIV and STD really are. And, you know, I try to go back to when I was 19 and 20. I didn't really take HIV seriously. I didn't really start taking it seriously until I met it face-to-face, until I started seeing my friends who, you know, who got it. And then some of, you know, I had to unfortunately bury some of my friends. And it's to, right then it sent the bug light went on, and I was like, okay, well, I don't want to end up like them. I don't want my parents to go through what their parents to go through. But nowadays, I don't know. It's kind of mind boggling because it's, you know, when you have these porn sites just advertising it like, this is cool, this is the thing to do, this is what young kids are looking at, and they're saying, well, you got these hot boys, you know, doing this, why can't I do it? And it's hard to compete. It's really hard to compete with that. And it's really gotten out of control. You know, I always tell people, I said, if you do decide to have unprotected sex, get yourself checked. Every 3 months, go get yourself checked. And if you happen to get the disease, there are certain programs that they have for you, like the Ryan White program. If you can't afford it, that program will help you pay for it. There's counselors out there that will talk to you and advise you. But I really don't know. It's so much. It's so much, and it sometimes saddens me because I see 18, 19, and 20, 20-year-olds who are HIV positive, and even though they got it, they don't know what they got. And they think it's a cold, and they think it's just a flu that's going to walk away in about 2 or 3 weeks. And I've been looking at them like, baby, that's your life. This is it for you. And all you can do is offer them some kind of words of wisdom, but these kids don't listen. Some people are hard-headed. Reality has to sink in, and I don't know. I'm hoping and praying that it gets better, and I'm hoping and praying that there's more people out there who will reach out to these youth and some of these young adults and shake them a little bit, because we keep on going, we're going to become extinct. Because the numbers are rising, especially in Florida, especially in Miami. Miami alone, Miami is number one. Miami is number one. And I'm afraid to speak to anybody. Because I don't know what people got.
So for people that feel that, you know, like, let me use the example. We all know that, you know, Sizzle Weekend is coming up, Memorial Day weekend, and the girls love to run down to Miami and have all these free crawls and stuff. What are you saying about Miami? Like, what kind of statistics are going on down there? Like, what is really happening in your area that you are witnessing?
STDs, now, as far as the HIV, it's number one, but it's number one in heterosexuals.
Okay.
I can't say it's number one in heterosexuals, but as far as STDs, it's homosexuals.
Okay.
And these people just don't like wearing condoms. Shizzle is a big weekend. Let me say something. I tell people all the time, it's okay to be a slut and a whore. It's okay. Just make sure you protect yourself. That's all. That's the only thing. Is there people they upload these videos of them having sex in the stairway with no condom? And I'm looking at the video on Facebook, and mm-hmm. I'm seeing people like the comment, and I'm seeing people saying, "Ooh, I wish that was me. Ooh, that was hot." And I'm looking at this video like, okay, maybe they're looking at something totally different than what I'm looking at. Because I feel anybody who engages in raw sex, something's wrong.
Right.
Something's wrong. Because no person in their right mind who is negative is going to put themselves in that type of predicament. That's just my opinion. So I'm just like, well, but it ain't going to stop it because it's Sizzle. You got Molly, you got cocaine, you got weed, you got meth, you got everything in the book. And once those drugs get in those people's systems, that's it. Everybody's life goes blank until Tuesday morning when they planes back, and then reality set in when they sitting down in somebody's doctor's office over a weekend. It's okay to enjoy yourself, just. It ain't worth your life. Not to me.
Jasmine, did you see Mona say inside the chat room? She said, "Talk about the people who." Let me go back up. Jasmine, talk about the people that have HIV parties. What's up with that? They fucking raw and have positive people in there. They want to get it. It turns them on.
I know. Thank you, Mona. I know. I'm gonna bring somebody on shortly that's gonna share a story with us. But let me get Mark's opinion. Thank you, Trigger. That was so deep. I'm gonna get Mark, Michi, and Enrique's opinion, and then we're gonna go to a caller. Mark, go ahead and share with us, you know, anything that you want to share about this topic.
I'm really kind of with Jason on this one. I don't want to come off as a judgmental person, which everybody pretty much knows that I am. But I don't think that people understand the seriousness of sometimes why it either A is a key or B is very serious for me when I do say the things that I say. I work in a hospital every day, and I have to see people, and we're having a show about STDs, but we forget about cancer. You know, people who don't have sex or don't smoke or don't drink that are, you know, terminally ill for the rest of their lives or even, you know, go into remission, that don't even do anything to catch any type of disease. And, you know, it's not even their fault, you know. And I think that with us being who we are and having choices, you know what I'm saying, it's more of a danger zone because you actually are embracing this disease, you know, or this STD or whatever. So I think it's a little bit more serious considering that you do have the choice whether, A, to, you know, endure it or, B, to just, you know, try to protect yourself. You know, 100% condoms are not always 100% safe, but it is somewhat of a cap. You can put a cap on it. I personally think that it's terrible that people do want to go out and have raw sex, you know, knowing the seriousness of the stuff that's out there. But, you know, at the end of the day, like I said last night, you know, we all make choices. We're all grown adults. If you're out there and you want to go and swap fluids with somebody, unknowingly knowing what they're possessing inside of their body, and you can catch something and you like it, hey, you know what, then go ahead, because I'm pretty sure that I'll be reading your wristband in about another 3 to 6 months. or somebody else will be reading your wristband in another 6 to 3 months, and they'll be trying to figure out what it is that they need to give you or what kind of shots you need up your ass, you know, in order to cure this particular STD or syphilis or whatever it is that you have. So if you want to go out there and you want to have raw sex and you're fine with getting this, you know, syphilis, STD or whatever, any shots that they need to give you, this 3-4 series of shots, however many you need, and you're okay with that, then you know what, go ahead, because there's people I experienced, I've sold it, I've, you know, actually given some of it away to people, crack and cocaine and heroin, and I've sold it for years. So if you want to go out there and do that, that is your life's choice. But do not come back and then try to blame somebody else for what happened to you, or when somebody else finds out that you have it and they're exposing you, or not even exposing you, putting your business, what you call your business, out there, then you know what? You cannot be upset. And then that's when the lashing comes out. That's when I come to attack, because you know what? I deal with it every single day with these patients and some of the people that I know, and you're able to just go out and do it freely, but when it comes back to you, you don't like it. Stop doing it if you don't like it. If you don't want to have raw sex and people are saying that you're having raw sex and you have an STD and they can say that you have one, then you know what? If you're ashamed of it, then don't fucking do it.
Wow, thank you. Michi?
Well, wow. Well, Mark pretty much hit a very good point of making you have a choice. And everyone's pretty much said you must take accountability for our own actions. So, I mean, that's pretty much where I am with the whole factor of everything. As far as, you know, they need to protect themselves. You know, you're going to have sex. You know, diseases are out there. And my thing is, you know, you should treat everybody like they have it. You know, I don't care. You know, you can come with a test or whatever. I don't care. You still treat them like they have it. You have that choice and that right to do so. Now, if you choose not to observe that, then you choose to put yourself into whatever consequence that you're going to face with that. So.
Okay. And Enrique, I know you're a part of some of the organizations and stuff in your area. What is your opinion on it? Enrique?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah, I don't want to do a remix on what everybody said, so I'm just going to just say that you just kind of, people can tell you, like people tell you over and over again what to do and what not to do. You just have to use common sense in the end of the day. I mean, that's all I can say, because everybody else has pretty much said what I would have said. That's it, honestly.
Okay. I'm going to bring down some callers really quickly, then we're going to go to our next caller, our special guest. Well, not special guest, but someone who's going to share with us. But 585-490, you're on the air.
Hey, guys, this is Mother Kiki Garcon.
Hey, Kiki, how are you?
I'm good, and yourself? I'm kind of set back a little bit with this topic. It's just that, you know, coming from a background of working in prevention, you see the craziness from people wanting to catch HIV because of the free health care and free housing situations, from the young kids being manipulated by the older generation. It's just like, it's such a wide variety of how do you reach out to people, because you have these young kids getting caught up in ballroom glamour that take, you know, that may catch the eye of a icon or a legend or something and get caught up into that web like that. Or even a ballroom participant who's actually turning it. And then there's the perception that people think that if it looks good, smells good, and tastes good, that it's good for you. You know what I mean? And, you know, HIV is not what it was in the 80s. It doesn't have a look anymore. You're not going to see people's rib cages anymore. They're not going to look like, you know, the Starving Marvins on the commercials with the flies on their face. You know what I mean? People are, like, buff now, going to the gym now. And like the gentleman said earlier, I think, you know, in healthcare, you know, you have to use universal precautions. You have to treat everybody as if they are, you know, potentially harmful or hazardous to your health. And, like, coming from a background of prevention, it's just really, really disheartening and, you know, discouraging to know that you can drive home this message in these children's ear, year after month after, you know, ball, events, M group, or whatever you do, get this message out, and then they can still come back to be positive. You know, I think we really need to start pushing out the message of monogamy and, you know, glorifying monogamy, how good it is to be monogamous with one person versus of being the player and having some of everything. You know what I mean? But I just wanted to put that out there. That's all I got.
Thank you so much, Kiki. I really appreciate it.
No problem.
347-426, you're on the air.
Hey, I'm on the road. It's my third time on here. Hey, y'all. It's Keisha.
Hey, Keisha.
Hey, y'all. First and foremost, Jasmine, I want to thank you very much for having this topic. I think it's very, very, very good that you are trying to educate and just open up people's ears and eyes, because I think, again, this whole situation is being, again, swept under the closet, and swept on people's floors, and people are not taking it seriously. The caller, I think his name is Michi. I was very impressed by what he was saying. But when he mentioned about it's okay to be a slut, you just, like, contradicted
yourself. That wasn't me.
Trigger. I respected everything you said because you said it very clearly. But when you said, quote, for quote, it's okay to be a slut, but a safe slut, right then you just, like, you just ruined everything you just said. You could have said it's okay to be promiscuous. But to say the word slut is like you're saying, do it. Go ahead and do it. Go ahead and do it. Just be safe. But you know how devious and you know how people are and vindictive people are. They will still try to do something to hurt you, and you don't even know it in your face. So to go out and tell Cole to be a slut, it's like you're condoning to go out and do what you want to do.
Well, no. I'm not no, I'm being a realistic. I'm being realistic about the situation. I could have said promiscuous, or I could have been slut. They're the same thing. All I'm telling you is whatever you do.
I had to cut you off. Slut and promiscuous, it's not the same thing.
Yeah, it is.
Because you could have three partners, right? That could be considered promiscuous. A slut had maybe 10 or 15, 20 partners. That's a slut. But
no,
promiscuous.
Keisha, slut and promiscuous are pretty much the same thing, though.
Yeah, I guess it's the same thing.
Again, we can go back and forth because you can have three people and be considered promiscuous, but a slut. And
really, you know what? You're doing the measuring thing, Keisha, and you really can't do that. You have to call a spade a spade. If you're a hooker, a prostitute, there's no difference, sweetie. You're still selling yourself for money. So at the end of the day, when you're promiscuous and a slut, you will mess with anybody. Promiscuous people mess with anybody.
Okay.
Slut mess with anybody.
Right.
It's the same thing, Bill.
Okay, my point I'm trying to make is I respected what Trigger was saying, but when he said about it's okay to be a slut, it's like, for those who don't know, and I guess we're talking to the people who don't really know or don't really care, it's like you're saying it's okay to do what you do, and we're trying to prevent that, or we're trying to deter what's going on.
The whole topic is HIV awareness.
Right.
My thing about it is we do have people out there who like to go out there and say, I'm going to be a slut this weekend. I don't care what you do.
Uh-huh.
See, we need to – I don't see the word slut and promiscuous is not the topic. It's HIV awareness. Whatever you decide to do with your body, just protect yourself. It's all I'm saying. I don't care if you have sex once a year, protect yourself. Or you have sex 1,000 times a year, protect yourself. My main point is protect yourself when you do it. That's all. Not going out there and doing it unprotected.
I also think that, you know, however terminology you want to use it, whore, promiscuous, slut, you're being a realist. So we can sit here and say, protect yourself, blah, blah, blah. But I think if you keep it real and stop using it with blossoming words or colorations and just be 100 people, you'll be able to get past it. I mean, whatever terminology he used,
that,
he used
Enrique,
it correctly.
I can definitely agree with. I do agree with that because at the end of the day, I don't care what I say. If you're honest about what you do, I have so much more respect for you at the end of the day.
Exactly.
As opposed to tearing you down about what you do. It's no shade. I agree with that.
Exactly.
Okay. The next call is 323-801. You're on the air.
Hi, this is Jimmy Chanel. I just wanted to call in and say, you know, I really agree with the last caller. This is a really good topic. Thank you for having it.
Thank you for listening.
So, yeah, I just kind of wanted to say my opinion. Basically, I kind of agree with Kiki Garcon. Is that who called in? We should really start promoting more monogamy within the gay community, especially with the increased number of STIs going out there. In my opinion, gay men have been having this kind of distance away from safe sex since about the 80s or so, in my opinion. So it's not really necessarily a new thing that gay people are having unprotected sex. It's just that the diseases are becoming more out there, seeing as how there's a lack of actual relationships. People are just kind of like having sex, moving on. No one's really like making any connections. I don't want to say everyone, but, you know, generally you have a lot of people like, okay, we're just fucking, like, okay, thanks, have a good night. You know what I mean? Rather than someone, you know, taking the approach to actually commit to someone. And I think when you commit to someone, that's when, you know what I mean, things like that usually start to happen. But now with everyone kind of just doing what they want sexually, there isn't any virtue anymore. So I definitely think we should start promoting more monogamy. I'm sorry. And there was another subject. Oh, and then with the last caller and saying, you know, everyone just like, in my opinion, I feel like everyone in the gay community has had over 10 partners. You know what I mean? It's just something that happens with the generations that we're currently in. You know what I mean? It's not really, I mean, I don't know. Maybe there is one or two people out there that have only had two or three partners. But, you know what I mean, with the way things are going nowadays, especially with everyone wanting to be so beautiful and everyone wanting to be so hot and getting what they get and move on, no one wants to really settle down. Or, you know what I mean, everyone's getting out this traumatic-ass relationship and now everyone's heartbroken and wants to just fuck the world. You know what I mean? Do you think it's becoming more available, you know what I mean, because no one's really having any self-respect, I should say. You know what I mean? Bottoms are just hungry for dick now. You know what I mean? So they get it when they can. Tops don't give a fuck. You know what I mean? They give it if they, you know, if they're offering. You know what I mean? So STIs are becoming, are running rampant because of that. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I guess that's
okay. Thank you so much, caller. I want to say something about that. I think a lot of stuff right now is, I'm not trying to point the finger and blame social media for a lot of this, but I think, like, compared back in the day where it wasn't as easy as it was, I mean, as it is now, you know, back in the day, the girls, you know, would, you know, hang around Port Authority, the bathhouses, you know, certain, you know, streets and stuff, you know, parks and all that stuff, you know, to try to get something going, you know, for those, you know, 5 minutes of fame or whatever, and, you know, hit it back home and, you know, go about their life. But now we have so much social media and, you know, all these little websites and the apps and all the rest of that stuff that, you know, you can trade pictures and do all this stuff really quickly and, you know, get somebody over, you know, Jack and all those Adams and all the rest of that stuff and get you a piece of dick or a piece of ass so quickly that, you know, I think a lot of that plays a role. You know, a lot of that, it's just making everything happen because, you know, it's like we're in an instant, you know, generation. We're in an instant level of life where everything just happens now instantaneously, you know. So I think that's where a lot of it comes from as well. You know, when somebody posts a picture out there and they're getting a whole bunch of likes and a million people are hitting them up, you know, they feel inside, you know, like, bitch, oh, this one likes me, that one likes me, okay, let me see who got the biggest dick tonight, and let me see who got the hot, you know, the biggest ass tonight, this and that, so forth and so on, and people are just running rampant. You know, back in the day, it was all about chat lines, and okay, you still didn't know what the boy looked like. You know, now you can text, and the boy can text you a picture and this and that, but before you was just going based on his voice and what he was saying and hoping that this motherfucker come knocking at your door when you go see him, he looks like what he said he looks like or whatever, and you do what you have to do. But then now it's like, you know, you got pictures, texts, videos, Googles. You know, it's just so much now that's just making it so much easier for everybody to just go crazy. And I think a lot of that is the blame, but, you know, That's just my opinion. 347-314, you're on the air.
Hello, Jasmine.
Hi.
Hello, everyone. I don't know, I called in, someone inboxed me, asked me to call in, but so I didn't get to hear everything. I just heard like a bits and pieces of what everybody was saying. But working in the field these past few months, I've learned a lot dealing with people. I've seen people that are afraid to get help because they're afraid that people are going to find out what's going on. I think that's something that we need to stop, or we need to work on as a community, because instead of helping people, we're actually pushing people away. People are afraid that they don't want their girlfriends to know, they don't want, you know, like their friends to find out or whatever. And when it happens, and yes, this is me, you'll be surprised how people will come in and they don't want to get help. They're just scared. They're afraid to take medicine. They don't want nobody to say nothing. And it's wrong. It's late. I think that's wrong that people would try to capitalize off of someone's health status. I have seen people come into my office or come into the office and they're literally damn near dying, but they don't even want to go to the doctor. They don't want to go to get medicine. They're afraid to even go pick up their prescription because they're afraid somebody may look at them wrong or somebody may, you know, pass judgment on them. I think we need to learn that society, I think we need to learn that society is a cruel place. You have to remember that we live in a judgmental world where people pass judgment on us quick, and they all tend to put us in the same group. And everybody's not in the same group. Everyone is different. Everyone lives different. Everyone lives by different standards. Everyone lives by different rules. And I just feel that we need to think, because a lot of times we don't know how that person is feeling. Like, I've dealt with this one client who was I'm trying to see. They felt like they wanted to blame their lover, the person who gave it to them. And I'm like, how old are you? I said, you have to realize it takes two people to have sex. It doesn't take one person. It's two consenting adults to have sex. Now, he didn't tell me he had it. He didn't look like he had it. And that's fine. That's true. But, like, I think Enrique or either Mark or Nietzsche, I can't remember who said it, you have to treat everyone like they are sick. There's no shade, because you'll never know what you're going to get yourself into. HIV has no face no more, like Gigi said. I think that, what was her name?
Kiki.
HIV has no face no more. You have people, and there's help out there. The question is, will people go out and get it? There's plenty of us who work in this field who people, and I know a lot of times because of my persona of the person that people think I am, they don't want to reach out to me, and that's fine. But then there are people who have reached out to me, and I have helped. So people need to remember, like, because once it hits close to home, then that's when everybody want to have a sympathy. But you didn't have that sympathy for anybody else. I think people need to think before they act.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Alexis, for sharing with us. Talking about basically piggybacking off of what Alexis said is that people need to, like, kind of stand up for, you know, what they're kind of going through, and maybe, you know, not be afraid, you know, face it, not be afraid, and, you know, take it to that level of, you know, admitting to, you know, not admitting, but basically facing what they're dealing with. And, you know, not saying you have to share it with anyone, but once you admit to what you're going through, then you can seek the right type of help. And based on that, I'm going to bring somebody on the air right now. Now, earlier this week, I seen a video in the official ballroom, and it was from an individual who shared with us their story, you know, their past, and, you know, what came across, you know, during, you know, in their life, and where they stand right now. And I'm going to bring them on the air so they can share with us, you know, what they want to share with us about, you know, their video and what's going on in their life as of now. For those of you, because a lot of people, and when I bring you on, caller, I just want you to understand that a lot of people have seen the video, but a lot of people haven't. You know, we do have a lot of callers that have not seen it. They're not, you know, a part of the room. We have different parents that are out there that listen to the show, so forth and so on, that just, you know, you'll be touching them and they'll be hearing you for the first time and being aware of this. So just, you know, take it from there. But, LaDarius, you're on the air.
Hello, everybody. What's going on?
How are you?
Hey, sir. How are you?
Hello. What's going on?
Enrique, you're the one who got him on the air for me tonight. Well, you talked to him and stuff. So I'm going to let you take over a little bit and just kind of talk to him a little bit and just, you know, bring everything to the, you know, forefront. But pretty much the floor is his to talk about anything he wants to share with us. But go ahead, Enrique.
Okay. I mean, like we discussed earlier when we were discussing on the phone, like what the main topic was. But it seems to me that you already kind of know what you want to say. So let's start from the video, then we can go from there.
Okay, well, basically, I made the video because I was actually in my feelings. I get into my feelings a lot because I do think about it a lot. I'm HIV positive, and when I made the video, it was basically telling where I came from. I mean, like I said, everybody has a story, and, I mean, sometimes other people can relate to the same story. I really didn't grow up in a good child, you know, environment or nothing like that, but I didn't make the best of it, you know. I ended up starting to sneak to gay prides and stuff when I was about 16, and I met a couple of femme queens or whatever, and they introduced me to the life of working, you know. Me being dumbfounded, not really being around my family like that, I just jumped right into it because it was like these people, I thought that these people really cared about me and they were looking for my best interest. So I really wasn't feeling that because that wasn't like the type of thing that I would do. Like, I don't sit on someone's, you know, so I don't, I mean, I would never work out of a hotel on Point Blank period.
I don't want to interrupt you, but just people saying you're sounding really scratchy. It's hard for people to understand what you're saying.
I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, a little bit. It's still like a scratchy service, but we can pick it up. Just
okay. Where I left off at was the working lifestyle wasn't for me. So then after a while, you know, I don't watch porn, but I do like to see people that I do know in porn, and like being in a gay lifestyle, like I don't know, I don't hang around a lot of people. I've never really went to balls and stuff like that, but you know, getting a lot of attention by the photos and stuff that I post, I was enjoying it. I mean, I really did enjoy it. I loved it, and I thought getting on camera or whatever, or like doing movies will make it even better. You know, so I started doing movies. I did my first movie in 2012. I've only did 16, so I did my first movie in 2012. I did a couple of scenes in September of 2013, and I did my last scene in November of 2013. I mean, 2012. All of this was in 2012. I'm sorry. And when I was doing one of my scenes, after I did one of my scenes, I found out that one of the boys I worked with was positive, because we were actually walking down the street talking, because I knew him from previous than a movie, but I never knew that he was positive, because I just knew him from a minute ago. And we had, when I seen him, that's the first time we seen him in a long time. So it was like we was reconnecting or whatever. But when we did the scene, I didn't know that he was positive. And in the midst of the scene, a little incident happened, so we had to stop. And afterwards, like the next day, we were walking around Boys Town in Chicago. and he was taking a pill, and I was asking him, like, what's wrong? You know, asking him what was wrong with him. He was like, I'm positive. And I was like, are you fucking serious? You know, excuse my French. But, yeah, and then I found out that he was positive. And then I got to get a little bit more information on other people that I've done the scene with the same company. So basically the days that I was working with the same company, a few other people, this is what I was told, that from the model that was positive, that it was another model that I worked with that was positive too. And then after it, it was hurtful, but at the same time, I still went to go get tested and stuff, and everything kept coming back negative. Like, every test I went to go take was negative. And then I went to a ball in L.A., and they were taking tests or whatnot for the house that has the most, you know, the most people to take a test. They won a prize or whatever. And I went to go take a test with a friend, and I came back negative. But a couple weeks after that, like literally a couple weeks after that in the same month, I went to go take a test again because they were a friend of mine wanted me to go in to take a test while we were outside of a club, and I came back positive because they took a blood test. So, but I wasn't having like any sexual intercourse in between times. So.
Oh, a quick question now. Okay, you said that you guys did a scene. What company were you dealing with? Was it a raw porn site or was it a safe scene site?
Most of my porn was raw. Most of it was raw. I only did one scene where I used protection.
So, okay, another question has come to me. So, like I asked you earlier, too, do they not test the models before they actually have the scene?
Some of them don't, some of them do. The first thing I did was very professional. They did all of that. It was actually in L.A. But the rest of them, not really. I mean, you filled out on the application the last time you got tested. And that's about it. I mean, I really don't know how it's supposed to go, but based off of what I've done, I just fill out the paper to say that I'm negative. I mean, I personally get tested before I, you know, do a shoot, but I mean, I don't know if everybody else do.
Okay. Not to dig, because I'm going to have to ask this question. A lot of people are asking. Now, there's a lot of different type of porn sites or porn industries. So why would you pick the raw one instead of the one that practiced safe sex?
I mean, it wasn't that I picked them. I just felt out for a lot of industries. I mean, it was basically they go off of your look. Some of them that use protection. I mean, I basically just didn't have the look that they were looking for.
Okay. Did anybody else on the panel want to ask questions?
I'm getting a couple of questions really quickly, Ladarius. I just want to make sure I'm asking them based on what they're inboxing me. One of them is, you can press one if you want to. One of them is asking, so you're saying that you became positive because of the porn industry. That happened because of what you did doing the porn, correct?
Correct.
Okay, yeah, so that's what he's saying. Okay. And another question is, did you take into consideration, like, based on maybe your age or anything? I want to try to read it correctly, but I'm going to read it, but I'm putting it in my words. I guess what they're saying is, did you have knowledge about, like, how dangerous it was to have unprotected sex out there? Like, were you knowledge on this stuff beforehand? Like, why would you put yourself in such a dangerous environment? Or were you one of those people that felt that it just wouldn't happen to you, or you didn't think about it?
I mean, I've always thought about it, you know, that one day it probably would happen to me, you know, not just because of doing movies, but just being gay, period, you know. But I mean, I really don't know. I just, I knew about it, but in a way I thought it would be more professional enough that they would actually, the models would actually go get tested, and they would put you with the person that best fits you. From my understanding, if you're positive, you can still work if you're positive. Me, unfortunately, like I said, I stopped after my last movie because I found out after my last movie that I was positive, and I haven't did a scene after that. But, you know, I mean, when you're going into it, you just think that they're more professional with their work like that. They would have records of people test results and stuff like that. Because
I have a question.
Yes.
Okay. And this is Michi. How you doing? My question to you is, okay, when you went to apply yourself or however it was done for you to do these scenes or do this movie, you didn't think about the process, like what their process was. Like you go in there, you fill out application, or like, okay, come in, they put you on the set. You didn't once think like, okay, this is kind of awkward. They never asked me for a test, so they just let me put down whatever I say. They're not testing on site. Like you never took that into consideration at all?
No, you know what? I really didn't. I really didn't take that into consideration. Whatever's on the side, well, like when you fill it out for porn, you just basically filling it out online. When you get there, I mean, they'll send you an email, ask you some extra questions, you send me your pics, and when you get there, you sign a contract.
And in the contract clause, it says nothing about having to be tested or. Wow.
No, that's really so just I don't know how. Okay. Is there because I'm getting this question too. Is there more money in raw porn than it is safe sex porn? I know you said that you can get into like some of the ones that practice safe sex, but there's other people that are saying that there are actually sites that do accept, I guess, twinks or whatever the case your category would be. But is there more money in doing raw porn?
No, not really. It's both the same. It's basically you get paid off of your looks and who you are. If you're known in the industry, you're gonna get more money. If you got the looks, you're gonna get more money.
Okay, so I just lost it. Go ahead, somebody, because I just lost the question I had.
I had one, but I kind of lost it a little bit, too. But you know what?
I want to ask a question. I just want to ask a question about the with you going to get tested every, you know, whenever you needed to go and get tested, what is the level of competency that you knew about HIV, STD? I mean, were you before these scenes and before all of this really aware, you know, or were you, like, you know, looking into certain things before you did the scenes, or, you know, did you, like, kind of go into it, you know, get into the situation, and now you're, like, more, you know, aware? Like, how did that work? Did you, you know, look into it before all of that? Were you aware before that?
No, it was just basically getting into it and then getting more aware of it.
Oh, okay. All right. I understand a little better. Okay.
Okay, you know, my question was, like you said, like, when you walked with the boy and he took a pill, did it dawn on you to ask questions, to ask these guys before? Because he seemed like he was pretty upfront with it, to, like, just blatantly take the pill. Because it seems like to me that he probably figured that you were HIV positive as well. So did you dawn to ask these people that you did scenes with, were they positive before having a scene with them?
No, not really, because, I mean, like I said before, I went off of what I knew, like, what I thought, like, I just basically went off thinking, like, I don't know, by them knowing that I'm negative, they would make sure that the person that I'm doing the shoot will be negative, too.
Okay. Wow.
I think a lot of it has to do with, you know,
lack of education.
I kind of think, not even really maybe lack of education,
I mean lack of education is sexual transmitted disease education. Like, he just didn't know about the virus, period, because if you knew about the virus, he would have went in saying, wait a minute, let me ask some questions.
When did y'all test? When is y'all window period? Because if when you're educated on certain things, you ask questions. If you don't, he basically went in there with a blindfold on and said, whatever. And as a result, this is what happened.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, that's what's really happening in this case with him.
Mm-hmm.
But that's all a part of that. Now we want to ask, I want to ask LaDarius, you pretty much have went through that, and now what have you done? What measures have you taken? How has it really changed your life? What steps have you taken now that you found out that you were positive? Have you sought help? Have you sought more, becoming more educated on it now than you were in the past? You know, what steps have you taken once you learned it?
Well, I do go to the doctor all the time, every time I'm supposed to. I don't take meds at the moment. My T cells and viral loads are very good. As of right now, I still kind of like work in a way, but I don't like escort. I'm a houseboy. Basically, sometimes it's a contract. It's basically. I don't know how to put it. Like, it's just like a houseboy. Like, I go live with, like, older gentlemen that wants me to run errands for them, do something for them. Sometimes you sign a sexual contract. Sometimes you don't. But unfortunately, me, I don't sign a – I don't do anything sexual with them. I'm very open and blunt about my situation with me being positive to anybody. I don't know. I just want to aware people. Like, now that it happened to me, like, it's really an eye-opener. Like, I know. I mean, I don't regret the things that I've done, but I do regret the choices that I've made working with certain companies, not actually doing the right thing or being professional with their job. Like, I probably could have worked with a couple of other companies, but at the time, that's not the company that was looking for me. So I just went with what was best for me at the time that when I was thinking of doing it. And when I was doing it, like, it was something I always wanted to do. It wasn't like it was for the money or anything like that. I just wanted to do it. Like I said, I got it. You know, when you hear, oh, you cute, you can do this, oh, you cute, you can do that, and all this other stuff, you know, I might not be the cutest, but when you hear that, it's just like, it geeks up your ego. I mean, people
right.
can say it don't geek up your ego, but it geeks up your ego and you just like.
Now, did you inform the company that you possibly may have contacted HIV from there?
I actually did contact the company, but before I called them, I actually called a firm to get some legal advice, and they told me to call them and see if they wanted to handle things quietly, and if not, then just take it to court. But when I approached them, they was like, oh, I'm sorry to hear this, and they don't do an investigation. And then they tried to say that I was doing all these other porns before them, and that I mean, all these bareback-end films before them, and I was an escort, and, you know, they were screenshotting pictures of ads and stuff like that, you know, to try to use it against me. But in reality, I only did one movie before I worked with that company. And, like I said, I admitted to being, you know, a working boy. I was a working boy, but at that time, I wasn't working, and they was trying to use false ads of me. But it was hard because a lot of lawyers didn't want to help me. And then
mm-hmm.
we already going through the things that I was going through with dealing with me actually having it. It was just stressful, so I just gave up.
Well, I want to say this. I know that I'm not trying to say anything negative towards it, but legally they're right. I mean, if you're actually there and you're having sex, you know, that you're having bareback sex on a film, there's no way to confirm that you're not having bareback sex outside of that film. So the actual probable cause just kind of got thrown out the window when you actually were on that video recording bareback sex, because even if you got it, they would have to do a tremendous blood, you know, a blood test to find out which strands match which strands to find out if you actually got it from that person. And they can find out exactly where you got it from because your mutated immune cells match somebody else's where you got that virus from. So they can determine where you got the virus from. It's just so hard because you want to, you know, go with it legally. They don't want to take that chance. A lot of lawyers don't want to lose that case. They don't want to lose it.
Hey, could you, can I ask you a question?
Mm-hmm.
Could you name the company? So just in case of anybody listening out there who are like you that just like, for instance, like to have sex or wouldn't mind being an exhibitionist or whatever, like what company should they be aware of not to go to? You know
Wild
what I'm
saying? Rides, Cocoa Dorms. I mean, Wild Rides and Cocoa Dorms is one of their flavor words.
Miami.
Oh, okay. So that's in Miami?
Yeah, but
mm-hmm.
I did my things. I did, when I worked with them, I worked in Chicago.
Right, I thought it was Chicago, too, but okay. So it was, okay, so that's the point in the suit. So my whole thing is, because I know you're saying that you're a houseboy, have you thought of any other, like, avenues of making money or making income? Do you make a substantial amount of money being a houseboy, or could it be the same thing as doing something else, or you just like the freedom you get by doing that?
I would say the freedom.
Okay. How old are you? Can I just ask?
I'm 21.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Okay. All right. So has this...
Can I make something clear real fast? Because I see it like in a ballroom room. I've never said that I'm still escorting. I said the job that I do is similar to escorting. I'm not having any sexual relations with anybody that I'm working with. And like I said, I'm very open and blunt about my situation, about me being positive.
I think what a lot of people are questioning, let me just bring up a couple of things really quickly, Ladarius. I understand your story, and I can pretty much, you know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to understand what's happened in your life and stuff. And I appreciate you bringing this to the forefront and coming on the air. But I think what a lot of people are asking is, number one, are you blaming the porn industry or these companies that you work for what happened, or who do you point the finger at? Are you blaming them, or do you say that, you know, it was, you know, it's your fault?
In a way, I do blame them, but I do blame myself, too.
Okay.
I could have.
So you are taking responsibility for what happened?
Yeah, I do take responsibility for what I did.
Okay,
and
question.
Hold on, Enrique, for 1 second, sweetie. Another thing is coming up is that you are saying that you stopped doing that and you have this, you know, new thing that you're doing. But the girls now, you know how the fake profiles are, but the girls now are basically pulling up, like, your Adam for Adam account, if that's yours
mm-hmm.
or not. And it's not saying that you are admitting that you have HIV on there or so forth and so on. Can you address that? That's what they're bringing up?
I would just like to make that clear that it's not my Adam for Adam.
Okay,
so,
it's not your Adam for Adam.
No.
Where do you live? Do you live in California?
Yes, I do live in California.
Okay, that Adam for Adam is a Chicago girl, so I don't know if that's really his or not, but, you know. All right, Enrique, go ahead.
It's in Rockford, Illinois, and I know where that is, but I also have family in Chicago, but that is not my Adam for Adam. Now, I do have a Jack, and I can screenshot messages of me admitting and openly telling people that I'm positive, so none of that will be going on.
Okay.
Well,
thank you, Ladarius. Go ahead, Enrique.
No, I know you were saying earlier that, okay, one of your comments bothers me a lot, but I'm going to wait for that one. One of the things you said was you had no awareness of HIV prevention or something like that. How can that be possible when it's like plastered on every billboard, or I mean, when you go to clubs, or like you said, when you go to balls and they did testing as a house? How were you not aware of that?
When I went to those balls, I already did all of my things. It's just being dumbfounded, not paying attention, just going out, just doing whatever you want,
just
doing
being
whatever
young.
I wanted to do, yeah.
Honey, let's be honest, all the girls are doing it now anyway. Shit,
true.
So.
And you know what else that bothered me, that you said to me, and And it kind of makes me wonder if a lot of younger kids think that way, that being gay equals HIV. Because, you know, I don't know if you knew that you said that, and that kind of struck a real chord with me. So when people think they become gay, do they automatically think they're going to catch HIV? What do you guys think about that?
What do you mean when you become gay, you automatically
catch HIV? No, because he said, you know, I'm gay, so I just thought that would happen.
Well, no, that's not true. That's not true in a homosexual or hetero. People are forgetting that this is a sexually transmitted disease. And you can catch it other ways, sharing needles, go through blood transfusions. But with us that are not sharing needles and getting through blood transfusions, there is a sexually transmitted disease that goes around. STDs and all of this stuff, the same reason why we're on this show. This stuff happens through sex. If you lay down and you lay down with somebody who is positive, there is a very likely chance that you may be positive after that. And it does not mean the end. You can live. I know people who are in programs that are 50 years old and have had it ever since they were 19. So, I mean, it's not you're not dying. You know what I mean? But my question for him is, my answer for you, Enrique, no, I don't think that when you come into a homosexual lifestyle, it means you're going to catch HIV, because it means nothing. I don't have anything, so there's no, and I've been in this lifestyle 16 years. Yes, I will admit I am a total bitch and a prude, and I do not sleep with everybody. But it doesn't mean that the next person that next to me that's not promiscuous is going to catch it either. You can just like... what's the name said from L.A.? You can go ahead and sleep with as many people as you want as long as you're protecting yourself. And there's no guarantee with that either, 100%. Now, my question to you, I forgot your name, Cola, is how do you say that, you know, you're having a hard time, you know, with this thing that's going on with you, but you're saying to us that you're not taking medication because of your viral load. Baby, when you have no viral load at all and it's undetectable, you should still be popping pills to ensure that nothing drops. Your T cells or your viral load doesn't drop. You should be popping pills to the end, and whenever the end is, and the end can be all the way to 70 years old for you. So there's no guarantee that you're going to die from AIDS or HIV. So even if you're undetectable, you should still be taking meds. There's no reason why you should even be telling people that you're not taking meds. That is the most dangerous thing that you could ever play with. Now that you have it
is, but when I'm instructed to take meds from my doctor, then I'm going to start taking meds. But at this point, I'm not instructed that I needed to take meds.
Right.
So
I mean,
I'm
Mark,
not,
there
I'm
are
not
doctors. I mean, Let me just say this. I know that you're in that field. I know I get where you're going. Two things. We're older. I'm talking about he's 21. I'm talking about the 21 and under crowd. Is that how they feel when I pose that question? And there are people, because I've sat with people where their doctors said, your viral load is XYZ, so there's no need for you to take meds yet. And then when we're ready, like, they'll come testing and come testing, and they'll let you know. So I sat in the office with somebody when they told somebody that, and I said the same thing you said, Mark. I thought and I read that you're supposed to get on medication as soon as you find out you have it. But the doctor told me that's not the case. So I understand what he's saying, because I, too, like you, Mark, gagged when I heard that. But, I mean, what can I do? I mean, what can I say? I mean, when he's told me that, I just got up and walked out and waited a half an hour later till my friend came out, and we had conversations about why I stormed out like that. But at the end of the day, it's not happening to me. You know what I'm saying? It's happening to them. So it's not my doctor. It's their doctor. So they have to do as they're told. Well, not do as they're told, because they always can go to another doctor. But they're going to follow what they're being told. So, Mark, I've had heard that, truthfully.
Okay. I have a couple of callers that's going to come on. I do have a question, but I think he did say, but I'm just going to clarify it. Ladarius, are you a part of a house?
I used to be, but I never walked the ball. I was going to start, but I didn't.
Okay, because the question was pretty much, if you were a part of the house, did you have any house parents that played a role in talking to you about safe sex and things? Did you have a close relationship with any house parents or kids and stuff to pretty much talk about some of these issues versus voguing and all the rest of the BS? But you said you never really played a major part in a house, did you?
No, but I was very close to my house father.
And you never had
talked to you? And they never talk to you about any of this stuff?
Well, I did my first movie before I met him. I mean, I did some of my movies before I met him. So
okay.
afterwards,
okay.
you know, he
I
did,
got
you know.
So is he, is he supporting you now?
Yes, he is.
Okay, good.
Okay. Since where did you go? I've seen you, but now you're gone. Dante Balenciaga, you're on the air.
What's up, everybody? How's everybody doing?
Hey, what's up,
okay.
Just a few things I want to add, being in the field as well. And I tuned in kind of late, so this might have been things y'all already touched on. But the first thing, first and foremost, I think it's great that y'all are doing a show like this. There needs to be more shows, and this topic should be talked about more. Also, I think it's great that you added in STDs, or also known as STIs now, instead of just HIV prevention, because a lot of people forget about STDs. Considering HIV being the big thing, and they forget about STDs, when once you get one, you're more susceptible to get the other. So they really kind of go hand in hand. So I think this is a great show once again. But just some things I wanted to touch on. One being, when talking about things such as of this nature and prevention, you have to make sure that, I think, like, as friends and family, we have to make sure that when we talk to people, we're not being judgmental. We don't use judgmental tones. Don't say you should like certain things or you need to. You have to make sure you're wording it, because if they feel like you're judging them, calling them sluts or promiscuous or just certain things, they're going to shut down. You're not going to get the answers you want. They're not going to be receptive to listening to what you have to say, more so because they're going to feel like you're judging them instead of trying to help them. So I think that's very important for us to remember when talking to our friends and family about stuff like this. Two, drugs and alcohol, I think they play a major part in STD and HIV infections as well. A lot of times when I'm testing my clients at work, one of the main things that comes up is they were drunk, and so they kind of got careless, and they said, you know, we don't worry about the condom this time. Or, you know, she told me just pull out before, or he told me just pull out before and I'd be fine. And they aren't really knowledgeable on the fact that, you know, the pull-out method will not keep you from contracting STDs or HIV. So, I mean, I think we really have to remember that drugs and alcohol, learn to, you know, have it in moderations or use it in moderations if you are going to do them. Because they do affect your risk behaviors. And a lot of people are more risky once they are engaging in a night after the club and they've gotten full off or whatever. In addition, mental illness. A lot of us, you know, say, you know, these people are crazy. They're half naked on the internet and all of this. But sometimes we have to look at the deeper issue of why they're on their naked, why they feel like the only pictures that they should put up are half-naked pictures, so they get all these likes. It's probably because they're missing something somewhere else. But most of the time, us as a community, we attack them instead of trying to help them. So when they feel like they can't get this love from, you know, their friends or their family, their house, they post these pictures because then they get all these likes, they get these comments, and so they feel sexy. So then, you know, they get with these people to say, you know, it's okay, you know, we can do it without a condom, or even they feel like, you know, I'm not going to tell them to put on a condom because I don't want to turn them off, and then, you know, I'm back to feeling like I don't matter anymore. So they kind of let people do what they want to them, in a sense, sometimes. And, you know, like I said, you know, as much as we talk about HIV prevention and STD prevention in the community, I think we need to start talking about mental illness more and, you know, really try to see if we can find some funding, get some people to come in and maybe do mental evaluations as well, because a lot of people in this community really do suffer from different mental illnesses or mental issues, and there is hope out there and a big thing within the gay community and even minority race communities as with, is that we don't like to get help. We feel like going to see a psychiatrist or something like that is going certify us as crazy, when really sometimes people need people to talk to. Aside from that, just piggybacking off of what Alexa said earlier, about, you know, folks being scared to go get tested or going to go pick up their meds and so they're not taking meds. A lot of times that comes from the people around them as well. I have clients that come in and they'll say, you know, well, I stopped going to this place because I seen my friend there, and my friend told me that they seen X, Y, and Z there picking up some medications, and so I'm not going back there, not knowing that the friend that they was talking to goes to that same place too. So it's kind of, you know, they're going around, and the next thing you know, they feel like, who can they trust? Because their friends are all talking to them about their other friend. So I'm
asking. Let me ask you a question. I want to ask you a question, Dante, and I'm going to bring Alexis on and ask her as well because she's there. Alexis, before you come on with your question, I have a question for both you guys. I know personally with me, like, when it comes to, like, some of my health issues, like with my high blood pressure and things of that sort, I'm able to order my medication online and things of that sort. Is there any way that these, you know, people can order their medication and stuff, you know, online, where they don't have to go to these facilities, where they have to put themselves in that type of environment where they're afraid they're going to see the individual? They don't do no type of ordering and stuff to get their stuff?
Jasmine,
it's based on their insurance.
Yeah, there are counselors out there that will, in certain facilities and certain clinics, that know your situation or however it may be, and they will. I know certain people that will meet up with you, go to the pharmacy with you and get your meds, get them for you as a counselor, and then meet you somewhere to bring you your meds. I do have a friend that does not like to go, and he does have his counselor bring him his meds. I don't know if that's the rule or if they're just that cool or they have that rapport, but his counselor does bring him his meds.
I can pick it back off of that. There are certain organizations, depending on who you go through, that can actually have the medicines delivered to you.
But Dante, with the organizations that you deal with and Alexis, yours, do you guys offer that or know of anyone that offers that based on your view?
Go ahead, Alexis. Okay. At 57 Willoughby, they have their own, Housing Works has their own clinical facilities. A lot of people do come to Housing Works. We have various offices throughout the tri-state area where they do have clinical facilities where you can come pick up your medications. Now, also, some pharmacies, depending on where you at, they also have a delivery service where you can have the medications delivered to you. And I know that just depends and it varies. Like if you have like a neighborhood pharmacy, not nothing like a Rite Aid or anything, but just like a small, you know how some communities, especially here in New York, they have like little neighborhood pharmacies. Sometimes they will actually come out and deliver the things to you. So that is an option. But as far as the caseworker going to get the medications, I'm not aware of that. And like Mark said, that could just because him and his caseworker has a good rapport. But I wanted to piggyback off of something Mark said earlier about CDC just issued a report not too long ago that because of the influctuation of CD4, people, they're recommending that everyone starts taking medication as soon as they test positive, because during the first couple of stages, your numbers tend to fluctuate. So they kind of recommend everybody to start taking medication. Now, once again, that is up to the doctor. To anybody that is positive, and I do have friends that be like, oh, girl, I don't take medicine, and that's good. But at any given time, anything can happen, and you can just, like, living with it and working with it, you will learn that certain things will take them to a different level, from stress, eating, different things, and you never know what can happen. So they recommend that everybody takes medication, especially when they're first diagnosed.
Okay. Dante?
My organization, as far as I know, none of the counselors or the caseworkers deliver the medicine. Once again, I think, like Mark said, that's probably more of a prior counselor rapport type of thing that they have. I know there are pharmacies that will deliver medication to the clients if they choose. The other part that comes in is HIV positive people have to get their blood drawn usually every 3 months. So they're still going to have to come into that clinic, which is the other part that they're scared of. So even if they can't get their medicine delivered, they're having to come into these clinics. And so they feel like the stigma is that, you know, oh, I got it. These people aren't going to like me, my friends, you know. They're going to outcast me. They're going to talk about me like they're talking about all these other people to me. And so I don't want to go in here. So I'd rather just not be on meds than to take the chance of somebody seeing me in the clinic.
Okay. Kelly, you're on the air.
I'm going to tell all of these girls out there, baby, if you go into these centers, baby, it's for everybody to go into those centers and do what you need to do. Because, bitch, if you see another bitch sitting in there, she's sitting in there for the same reason you sitting in there. So don't be ashamed.
Exactly. You're right, Kelly.
So aggressive about it.
But I'm just being real, bitch. Like, these girls are feeling ashamed to go in here and get the help that they need and everything. But you worried about what she's going to think about you being in here. But she got to be in there for the same thing you in there for.
But, Kelly, you know what the funny thing is about that? Because people, I've talked to friends, and she was like, oh, girl, they said they seen so-and-so and so in there. So you're like, well, girl, what's she doing there? Oh, she went to go take so-and-so and so to get herself. I'm like, so she was sitting in the lobby waiting? Well, girl, I don't know. I was like, yeah, okay, well, whatever, you know. But people will make up anything. And it's the funny thing is the people that are on services and need services are the ones that's doing the bashing.
I have a couple of callers really quickly. Thank you so much. Dante and Alexis, I'm going to put you back on hold so I can get you his call because it is running kind of late. Kelly, what are you eating this late?
I just got back in from my mother's house, and I cooked, and I'm eating my beef stew. I was at my mother's house with my aunt and my uncle. They just came up here from Virginia.
You eating at 2 o'clock in the morning, girl.
I left on my house at 10 o'clock once I finished cooking, and I just got back in the house a few minutes ago when you see my house number come on.
What happened to people eating at 5 and 6 in the afternoon? 678-733, you're on the air. Is that Tiffany? 678-733. Okay. 323-286, you're on the air.
It's me, Jasmine. I dropped my phone.
I'm sorry, Miss Abby. Keep forgetting your number. And I think I went to this caller. 323-801. Did I go to you already? Okay. All right. Kelly, did you want to say anything else about tonight's topic, Kelly, before I close it out with Cesarean?
No.
Okay, we'll finish eating, girl. I'm going to leave it right here. Let's 678-733.
Okay, I'm so sorry, y'all. My phone's having difficulties. But have you guys have been paying attention to this ballroom, radio room, the radio
channel?
You know, the girl, she just came on to share her story. But they are really going in and dogging this girl on this thing. And, you know, we was talking earlier. I heard y'all talking about people who needed to be banned from the room. I mean, y'all really need to go and check this room out because it is no longer a radio chat room. They're giving very Adam for Adam interviews, posting that boy page up. I mean, if this
Don't worry about it. I'm taking care of it all right now.
But Ladarius is right here. Ladarius, what do you feel about what these people are saying right now in the room about you? And you're handling yourself professionally in there. Well, what do you want to say to them?
I mean, I really don't have much to say. I'm really not a reader. I don't get into all of that confrontation stuff. I mean, people gonna say what they want to say. Everybody has their own opinion. Like I said, I know what I got myself into, and I'm dealing with it now, and I'm going to continue to deal with it the best way I can. I mean, I just wish them the best of luck with life, you know.
And I'm gagging at what you girls is actually sitting here and y'all reading and giving all of these smart comments and things, bitch, when y'all got a lot of people that's running around here, bitch, and they sleeping with y'all and fucking y'all and sucking with y'all, and bitch, and they ain't even telling y'all. And then you got somebody that's out here and they telling their story, bitch, and y'all girls is attacking him. That's so late.
Yari, do you have a strong support system?
You said what?
Do you have a strong support system? Do you have a lot of people that you talk to that help you out?
Yeah, I have a good support system.
Well, that's good. I think that helps a lot too. I really do think that helps a lot.
Yeah, I think so too. Because you're quite strong minded to be 21.
Thank you.
Well, he did say that he went through a lot, you know, at a younger age and stuff. So, Darius, what about your family, your biological family? Do they play a role in your life, and are they helping you through this?
Well, I really don't talk to my dad. I never really knew him. I just met him when I turned 21. My mom, I talk to her a little bit, but I really don't talk to her as much. I see her almost every good every 6 months. We text a lot. That's about it. I really don't communicate a lot with my real family.
So do they know? Do they know about your situation, or you haven't told them?
Oh, they know about my situation.
Oh, okay.
I mean, they support us,
but... And
how
does that brought you guys... Has it brought you guys closer or anything like that?
A little bit, but I wouldn't say a lot. But like, we like close or nothing like real close now. But I mean, it brought some light onto her. You know, like I said, everybody grew up in a different situation, and mine wasn't the best. I mean,
right.
Okay. I have a question from someone. This is going to be the last question, then I'm going to let you go. With the attention that your video has gotten and you pretty much on the air tonight, what do you plan on doing as far as, you know, yourself goes? Are you planning on maybe, you know, spreading awareness? Are you going to be maybe...
Okay. Yeah, I really do. It might sound weird coming from me because, you know, I do post a lot of new photos. I post a new photo every day on Twitter, you know. But like I said, for the attention, and I mean, it has changed me a lot. I really haven't been posting any new photos. I did recently a couple days ago, I'm not gonna lie, but I mean, I just wanna aware people, like, let them know, like, it's like everybody was saying, it's not about sex, it's about the drugs and everything else that's going on in the community too. But in the end, just wrap it up, you know.
Okay.
I have a question
about the posting of pictures and everything. I'm going to bring Alexis on, but I do have one question personally from you. Alexis just pressed one again. Alexis, you're back.
Liv Darius, let me ask you a question. You said something earlier that kind of bothered me, and I asked, and nobody seems to ask the question, so I'm going to ask myself. You said you tested positive at the age of 20?
You said I what?
You tested positive at the age of 20?
No, I tested positive at the age of 21.
21, and that was this year, right, or last year?
Last year.
Okay. Let me. This is my point. At the age of 21, I remember you said that you were not educated with HIV. In the year 2012, 2013, how do I say this without sounding?
You can be as blunt as you want. I don't take anything to offense.
No. In the year 2012, 2013, everyone should be educated. They're teaching HIV awareness in elementary school these days. So people just need to think. I think people are making a lot of bad decisions because they're in tough situations. People are making a lot of bad decisions because times are getting hard and, you know, they need money. But I just want people to be aware of what is really going on out there. Because at the age of 20, everyone should be aware that HIV is out there, and it is a sexually transmitted disease, and raw sex is just that. So I just want you to, yeah. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Alexis. Ladarius, I'm just going to ask you a question, but I think I'm going to turn this into a topic one week, maybe next week or so. But, Ladarius, what is it about, you said you have this thing about posting pictures. I want to ask a question to you, not to everybody, but pretty much to you, because I think, I'm going to make a topic about this. But what is it about posting a picture and posting all these pictures, I guess, to get the likes and the attention? What type of fulfillment is it giving you where you just don't feel, or you feel like you're lacking in some area, or you need that type of, you know, acknowledgement from other people to make you feel good? What is it about it specifically?
For me personally, I like to do it. I mean, I love the photos. I like how they come out, how they turn out, how they look. I mean, nude or not nude, it's just the attention. Like I said, the attention gets to you. And, I mean, not when you're not thinking, you just go along with the attention and just keep going along with it and keep posting photos and getting comments and stuff, you know, so.
Okay. Now, I think in a video or something, you said something that when you were younger, maybe you were self-conscious or something about, you know, you said people said that you were skinny and things of that sort. Did you feel like at a young age that you didn't, you know, you were self-conscious about yourself, but when you looked in the mirror, you just didn't like what you'd seen? So now, you know, because you grew up and, you know, filled in so many areas, that, you know, you started getting this luxury out of, you know, the attention that people were giving you with the pictures and the porn and things of that sort. Is that what was satisfying you?
Yeah, it really was. That's true. You know, I used to feel very insecure with myself, you know, by being very small and petite. I, you know, never really got attention like that. I never really hung with people. So when I started doing the things that I do now or was doing, it made me a different person.
Okay. All right. And did anybody else have anything to say?
Yes, I have a question. With this platform that has been opened up to you, and at 21, what are your goals from here on out? Do you plan to use this platform as to be an advocate for youth, men, such young boys such as yourself, that may be listening to this show, that because you were unaware and you were unexperienced when you walked into the situation of the porn industry and there was no one there to guide you. So within everything that happens, I believe God does everything for a reason. So your reason for being here now, are you going to use what has happened to you to be an advocate for other young men so that this does not happen to them? Or are you just going to let this just sit on the shelf and do nothing with it?
No, I'm going to use it. I do feel like I do need to change it. Some of the things that I do as far as the pictures and stuff that I take and certain things that I post, certain places. And, I mean, just basically go full force with it and just aware people.
Well, I think he definitely took the second step. He made the video, and he's on the air with us. I think he really is taking the initiative, so I want to give him kudos for that. Naima, Trigger, did you guys have anything for him?
No, I don't have anything to say. I'm just, you know, I'm just listening.
Okay, Trigger, did you want to say anything? Mark, Enrique?
No, I pretty much asked all the questions. I do like to thank you very much for coming on for tonight, though.
Yeah.
I really do appreciate it, because I think you not only did you bring more better understanding to us, but I think you helped a lot of people out there as well, honestly.
I just want to say I think your willpower and your strength is amazing, because I know so many people who you don't really know if they're positive or not, and as soon as you say it, they go the fuck off. So I really had to give you a lot of, you know, respect for being a strong-minded individual.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Kelly, Michi, did you have anything for him?
I just want to encourage him to continue to, you know, to let your mistakes be somebody else's future.
Exactly.
Just continue to help somebody else.
I just want to tell you, just keep your head up, baby. It's going to all be all right.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, definitely, Darius. I want to say thank you so much. And don't let the girls, honey, tear you down. They're going to be okay. And with you, you know, just thank you so much for coming on the air. I really appreciate it so much, and I just wish you the best. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ladarius. One thing I do want to bring up, he's gone. One thing I do want to bring up is I do want to have a show soon, maybe next week, depends on what happens this week. But I think I do want to talk about, you know, people, and I don't want to say the mental thing, even though, you know, it may be that, but I do want to talk about that, you know, the people and these, you know, them and the confidence levels that they may have and the pictures and the attention and, you know, the way people start feeling about themselves. And, you know, a lot of people feel negative about themselves at times, and they look for other people to just, you know, fill in those voids and stuff. But I think I want to touch up on that 1 week, you know, just kind of talk about that a little bit, because I think that stems from a lot. You know, when you start going out there, and if you don't have enough confidence in yourself or belief in yourself, and you start allowing everyone else to dictate how you look, and they be looking at you for the wrong reasons. You know, they want to just have and give you all this life just to have you and all the rest of this stuff, and next thing you know, something is going on. And when it comes to these STDs, again, you know, even though it seems like we did talk a lot about HIV, because it just seems to be the main factor with us, but again, I just wanted to listen to and study and research, you know, STDs. Tonight, you know, this month is STD awareness, so there's a lot of information out there. Go to the CDC website. You know, there's a lot of websites out there that are, you know, giving out information. One thing we tease people about is people that have, like, genital warts and stuff like that, and, you know, all these other little things. But what we got to keep in mind is these things turn into other things that turn into other things that turn into other things. And we sit there and we just let it happen. Start paying attention and do your research on any little bump, bruise, or anything that's happening in your life, because you don't know what it's turning into. And those little warts that you have growing on your ass and all the rest of that stuff, you don't get it treated or you don't want to do nothing about it, and it turns to some type of cancerous material or whatever, and you're dealing with cancer. We're so focused on HIV, but we're forgetting about some of the other things that come along with it. You know, with all the other things that are happening out there, and all the other diseases and viruses that are out there. So we need to start focusing on everything. You know, if you feel anything is wrong, I know some people that I talk to that say, bitch, I go to the doctor as soon as I cough. As soon as my nose runs, as soon as I got an itch or a scratch, I'm running to the doctor. I'm running to the clinic because I don't want to be bothered. I don't want to be bothered with this and that. So you need to start caring about yourself more. Really start caring about yourself more. You know, with me, I'm dealing with high blood pressure, and now I have to train myself. My doctor's telling me, okay, you got to take this, you got to take that, and I need you to monitor it, and this and that, and bitch, now I got to run to the motherfucking firehouse, because I'm a big girl, and I can't just run to those little machines in Walmart and Walgreens, because my arm is too damn big to go into that machine. So I go right to the firehouse around the corner, and I sit right there with all them firemen, and they sit here and take my blood pressure every Monday to monitor it because my blood pressure is high. Do not be afraid to go out there and get help. Do not be afraid to sit down and seek advice or seek help. There's many places out there that will help you. And stop worrying about the next individual. Have enough confidence in yourself and say you want to live, and stop worrying about the next individual and what they're going to say. Because at the end of the day, when you're in that hospital bed, or God forbid, and you're in that coffin, those other girls that have so much to say are going to be talking about somebody else. And that's just what I feel about it. We're going into record mode. Yeah, I got 90 seconds to call in and continue with the show. 404-454, you're on the air.
Yo, what's up, Jasmine? What's up, Kelly? What's up, Enrique? What's up on there? Michi. I'm just calling in. I'm here in Atlanta for spring break. This is Martez, by the way. I'm here for spring break.
Hi, Martez.
I was at some friend's house. Actually, I'm still here, you know. And, you know, conversation just came up out of nowhere because two people that I know that are here, you know, HIV positive, and they're lovers, you know, they're out with it. So then I knew that my great grandmother, who's, you know, HIV positive, whatever, she, you know, she's open about it too. So conversation came up, and, you know, more people start coming over, and we had a house, like, with 13 people. And last night at the club, we all went out, and I got tested. So, also sure, my shit was negative, and I was just gagging that a lot of people didn't take the initiative to go get tested. And so we got back here, the conversation came back up. It was a joke made, like, I'm dying, all that stuff, you know what I'm saying? And I never got the reason, like, why people, you know, play with the topic, you know, of having HIV or AIDS and talking about, you know, they have to take their pills, you know, they're dying, you know, little stuff like that. But long story short, it was 10 people inside of this one house out of 13 of us that were HIV positive. And I was like, what in the hell? Like, what is really happening to our community? What happened to, you know, practicing safe sex? I know a lot of people say, you know what, oh, I use a condom. But then you try them, and you be like, listen, you got to put this condom on, you know what I'm saying? But you just giving it in front of your friends, like, oh, I always use a condom.
Right. I mean, there's a lot of people, dude. A lot of people do stuff like that just to front. When they honestly, you get it behind closed doors, it's a whole different story. Whole different story. You're absolutely right.
Okay. Thank you, Martez. 917-204, you're on the air. 917-204. Okay. All right, so I'm done talking about it. So what do you want to talk about now? I'm done. Naima, Jason, Trigger, Mark, Enrique, Kelly, and Michi. You guys are still on the air.
Okay.
You know, I wanted to say that it's so, you know, most recently, you know, not to, drag the conversation out, you know, that I guess to kind of end it or whatever.
Hello? Naima.
Naima's
gone.
Naima's gone for the night.
Oh, shit.
What happened to Naima? Kelly, your phone is on speaker.
A cricket.
You're getting a lot of feedback. Kelly.
Yes.
Your speaker's carrying, girl.
Oh, her cricket dropped.
We lost Naima. Where's Jason?
I'm right here.
I see you, Jason Trigger. All right, y'all. What do y'all
want to
talk about?
Y'all scared the bishop off last night.
I want to talk about For the Love of Kelly.
We are not talking about For the Love of Kelly. I'm sorry, not right now.
I want to talk about For the Love of... I want to talk about For the Love of Jason, and Bishop is going to be the first contestant.
Oh, come on.
Oh, come on.
Stop it, Five.
Okay.
Okay. Hell, Betty Long could be the first contestant.
Started from the bottom, now I'm here. So what are y'all going to talk about now?
Well, I'm supposed to be shouting that, you know.
So oh,
we
I do want to give
tomorrow.
A
oh my God, please don't ask that, Jasmine.
Can I do something? Can I wish the people some happy birthday?
Sure.
I gotta wish you a birthday, girl.
I would like to wish Banks Ebony a happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Banks.
I would like to wish Maya Angelou a happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
I would like to wish AJ Mizrahi a happy birthday. I also would like to wish, let me see who else.
Didn't you do this on Monday?
No. His birthday was today, but we celebrated it on Monday. I would like to wish Quentin Revlon a happy birthday, and I also would like to wish TJ007 a happy birthday.
Happy birthday, TJ.
Is it really TJ's birthday?
Yeah.
Happy birthday, TJ Mizrahi. I love you.
TJ007.
Happy birthday, TJ Mizrahi.
TJ007.
Oh, my God.
That was even 30 days.
I started from the bottom, and now I'm here.
Well, I want to give a special shout-out to my one and only number one, no shade to no one else, Brooklyn Mona, I live. You are the best. I've been sitting here at work. I've been sitting here, and, honey, the phone goes off to be Mona saying, yes. It's always attacking me. I live, Mona. I live. It's always get my attention.
Oh, and I also want to say welcome home to my brother, best friend, Bam, 007.
We have a call at 516-680. You're on the air.
Hey, Dexter.
Okay, so, you know, my phone had dropped the signal.
Oh, that's Naima through Dexter.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
not too much.
I knew your cricket had dropped, girl. I was gagging.
No, I don't have no cricket. You always want to cuff at me and say I got a cricket, honey. I don't have a cricket. I have a Verizon, but it just happens, you know, it just happens to, you know, drop the signal. That's all. But nevertheless, I would like to finish my thought that I was about to say. Have y'all found it so funny and how ironic that there's supposed to be now this cure for the virus, and it's supposed to be raw bee venom, you know, gonna be or whatever like that. And isn't it so funny that because it's supposed to be like these young scientists or something like that were supposed to quote unquote first found out this cure about the bee venom, when it doesn't attack the healthy cells in your body, but it destroys the cells of the virus itself. It kills it, like, instantly. And isn't it so funny now that has been discovered and so many different, quote-unquote, people around the world or different places have been coming up being instantaneously cured, that now the bees are disappearing. They're saying that the bees are like, they don't know what's going on. They think it's the pesticides that the farmers are using and things like that. But, you know, now it's not enough bees to pollinate and do all of these other things that we're having. Just want to know your thoughts on that. Hello?
Wow. I don't know. So you're saying the bees is part of the cure is what you're saying?
Yeah, they're saying the bee venom, the venom from the bees, when in contact with healthy cells, it doesn't destroy it. It doesn't harm them. But when it comes in contact with the virus, because the virus is, if anybody has any knowledge on the virus, knows that it is man-made, to destroy and break down the body or what have you, it actually destroys the mutating cells, so it attacks it and it destroys it. I don't know how many, because I've only been slightly researching this, but because I've been consumed with personal family matters or what have you, I haven't really went in depth into the information to really elaborate for y'all tonight, but what I have read so far is that when it gets into your system, it instantly destroys the cell itself, and it's supposed to
keep you, is supposed to keep you from ever getting it again. I don't know how true it is. I'm only going off of three different sources where I've checked it at, you know, but y'all can freely check it yourself. But it's, yeah, supposed to be bee venom from the bees itself.
I mean, so doesn't,
also,
don't they harvest bees,
I think
bees,
it's raw
though?
Honey, I think,
don't they harvest bees, though? So why would it be a big stick? I thought they kind of harvest bees like they do salmon and stuff like that.
So wait, wait,
say
I
again,
have a question.
Naima,
can
you
hear me?
Did you say bees?
Huh?
Did you say bees?
Yeah, bees. Like bumblebee or bee, you know, venom.
Right, but I thought they...
And they're saying that bees have something that make it go away. What? I'm sorry.
Do they have bees? It's supposed to be in that venom that it's supposed to destroy it.
And you're saying that and now the bees are disappearing?
Yeah. They're disappearing, but now even more so, at an alarming rate. They are disappearing.
Well, if they need some bees, they can come right over here. That tree right that I'm looking at right over here has a big ass bee nest, a beehive on it.
Oh,
that's
shit.
Gonna get this one
but
right
I
there.
Think, man, if you want to know my personal opinion, what I think is, I believe that the reason why the bees are disappearing in the way they are, you know, like I said in the beginning when I was talking about control, you know, how these man-made diseases are. Put on us as a form of control, as a form of not getting all religious and everything on the phone or whatever like that tonight. I believe everything that the powers that be make certain things for us to indulge in some type of worship and some type of pleading and some type of begging or something at the mercy of them. And I feel like if the bees are disappearing, then that means not only did they not want the people, the mainstream media people or other people to leak the information out, but now that it is getting out, if it is true, which it could very well be, that they don't want, they want to continue to control the population of the world or the planet or whatever it's going to be, so they're gonna keep fixing shit or keep doing things or whatever like that to protect people. The drug industry makes billions of dollars off of keeping you sick. You really think people out here curing you with these modern medicines, man-made factory medicines and shit like that, you are a fool for breathing. And all they're doing is sustaining you for the little bit of time that they need you here to either keep continuing experimenting on you or getting you to continue to keep worshiping their deities or their gods. Because I figured out like this, and I'm going to leave it alone. Whether you worship whoever you worship, whoever you want to acknowledge, whoever you want to call them, everything is designed around us worshiping, us wanting to give something thanks, to give something our energy. I look at us as people, not a color, not a skin tone, as an energy source, a sustainable energy source. If you think outside the box, outside of the skin and what we look like and things like that, we're energy. And we're some type of food or some type of source to whatever's controlling this world. And in order for it to sustain and keep alive, so to speak, over top of us, it has to put or implement certain things for us to worship it. So whether you worship Gandhi, Allah, or Buddha, Jesus, whoever like that, if you notice, you have to give yourself, open yourself, submit yourself in order for something to come in and, you know what I'm saying, to take over you. I know I get a little deep, but anyway, that's all I wanted to say.
Yeah.
Although, here we go. But yes, I wanted to talk about, you know, that war with Korea and stuff, too.
Oh, my God.
Sister Soldier.
Don't drop that dun-dun-dun. Don't drop that dun-dun-dun. Naima?
Devin, yeah. You're on the air.
Hey, everybody. How you doing, Devin?
I hate you, you fat yellow heifer.
Thank you. Everything about you. Anyway, no, I was just going to comment on what Naima said real quick. Naima, what the reason why the bees are disappearing is actually because of cell phones. I know that sounds really weird, so what it is like, you know, we use cell phones. Cell phones are on the same microwave frequency as, like, you know, different, like, radios or whatever. It knocks off the bee's flight pattern. So that actually causes the majority of bees to actually become a little bit, like, delirious or whatever, causes a lot of bees to die. If you got, and there is, like, scientific proof, like, if you hold a cell phone up to, like, you know, like, little beehives or wasp hives, they do kind of flip out, go crazy.
All right, yeah, I'm about to go outside tomorrow, and remind me to tell you
our next question. I was going to say, Jasmine, don't do no experiments. Come on, leave
the
bees alone.
I'm going to take the cell phone. I'm going to take the cell phone because it's too dark now. I'm going to take the cell phone and put it up there by that tree, and I'm going to see if they go crazy.
They call it. You're going to call it? Let's see how many bees drop.
That's the only thing it is. Because a lot of people was trying to figure out what it is, but the bee's flight pattern, because a lot of people trying to figure out why we're losing a lot of food, because only bees pollinate certain areas. Only stuff is only because of cross pollination that actually keeps some food around. They try, you know, we pollinate some food by ourselves, but bees majority of the time do majority of the cross pollination and breeds a lot of the food. So when we start doing those microwave signals or whatever, they actually distract and they knock bees off their flight pattern. So I imagine how many, where you used to see like tons of bees like every spring, you don't see them no more. And the main reason why you don't see them is because we have a large, dramatic, like, 200% increase now in cell phone use.
Devin and Naima.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna give y'all a Thursday night slot. Y'all two will be perfect together.
Yeah, please.
No, honey, you don't have to give me no slot. It's fine, honey, because yeah. Jasmine's in the room, Jasmine. You know, honey, tomorrow, honey, we will air tomorrow. It's time. You don't have to give me no spot. Let me tell you something. Some people who don't want to hear, they don't have to hear, but that's why I only spoke on it just a little bit and I left it alone. And we could gladly move on, you know, because.
No, I just love y'all conversation together. You and Devin will be y'all will be a phenomenal team together, let's say.
You trying it. But the shade is going to be, when it's all said and done and the bees ain't around, then you're going to reflect back to when you slightly tried it on this particular night. It was like, you know what, that bitch was right. And you're going to be singing your sugar to the waters. Because I'm going to tell you something, at the end of the day, because I'm ready to move on to the thing with the girls, the China girls. I mean, the people over there, the ones that want to fight the United States. At the end of the doggone day, whatever, I am to the point where if whatever's going to happen on this planet, let it happen. If we're going to go to war, then, honey, we're going to go to war, and then we're going to, and that's it, honey. We're either going to meet up on the other side. If you think you're going to heaven, you think you're going to hell or whatever like that, bitch, you'll just find out what you get to the other side, if there's another side. Because to me, this universe is too vast just to go to one place and be it. But that's a whole nother story. But anyway,
before you actually do it, it's the thing is actually called colony collapse disorder.
What? I believe them Chinese, you know, the Koreans. Everybody's greedy. Everybody want money. Everybody want blood and everything like that. And they have been saying for years that the United States is greedy. The United States went into Africa. They going into the diamond mines and they stealing the diamonds, they're stealing the gold and everything out of Africa. So they're still doing it. You know, they going into. Did y'all know what was that tsunami that happened? Was that Haiti? What was that happened a couple of years ago? I think that was Port-au-Prince, Haiti. Did y'all know that right outside of Port-au-Prince, Haiti, like on the shoreline, sat it was a floating hospital it's a ship, but it was full of Marines and stuff like that, but it's a hospital. And it treats the people, because you know those people over there are poor. This hospital sits right there, and it never leaves. It never leaves whatever, like, any type of shipment or supplies or anything that they need, it comes in from helicopter or comes from another ship. I want to say a day before that tsunami hit Port-au-Prince, Haiti, it was said that that ship left the way it sits at, or what have you. Now, like I said, ever since it came there to help those, quote-unquote, help the people, it never left. It was said that the reason why it left, because this machine that the government has called HAARP, H-A-A-R-P, that controls the weather, the storms, you know, or it makes tsunamis, hurricanes, and it manipulates a lot of things that happen around the world. They said they sent that there to them because they went in, and if y'all noticed, the United States was the first ones there to, quote, unquote, rescue these people, help these people, and give aid to them and all of this shit like that. When I think it's not Switzerland. I forgot the foreign country that actually aids them and takes care of them. And is it France? One of them countries over there, because I'm all over the place right now, honey, because I'm a little stoned. But it's another country that takes care of them, that watches over them, that were at war with birds and things like that with the United States. Cause it was like, how the fuck y'all get in here so doggone fast to take care of these people? But the people were actually recorded on the news saying that the United States, they're devils. They came in here, they're stealing our land, they're stealing our children, they're stealing our gold and everything that's in there. They were supposed to have been like the last place where they had gold or pure gold and diamonds at in their mountains and inside their land.
I have a question for everybody. I want everybody to listen clearly. And I just want to ask this question. And then I'm going to go to this caller. Number one, Naima, they're saying that it wasn't a tsunami, it was an earthquake that happened in Haiti. So that's what they're sending over. But I want to ask a question. I'm not going to read, y'all. No, I'm not reading. I just want to ask a question. Naima has the right to have her opinion, you know, based on a lot of stuff that has happened. And basically, based on her opinion, that means that Naima is very open-minded to things that are happening in life. Now, that is just how she feels. I, too, am open-minded to things that happen in life. Nothing surprises me when it comes to religion, anything spiritual, supernatural, anything like that. I'm not one of those people that just are going to sit here and not believe. I believe in a lot because I just believe that that's how life is. I'm very open-minded. If I feel like if I wasn't, that I would just be very naive. I wouldn't be alert to things that are happening and that anything can happen, you know, to me. Now, do I believe that everything, like, you know, that we hear and we see on YouTube or in the media and stuff are 100% true? They may not be 100% true, but there has to be some type of fact that comes along with it, and that's where I go with this. You know, I believe in zombie apocalypse. I believe in, you know, the powers that be. I believe in, you know, struggles. I believe in so much, you know. I've witnessed things, you know, in religion. I've witnessed things in death. You know, I've witnessed so many things that happen to people and, you know, things that I have faced and dreams and all that stuff. That's just how I feel. But when you people, you know, some of you people kind of like go on the defense and say, oh, this is like a whole bunch of mumbo jumbo and stuff. What do you guys feel will happen today if anything does happen? Do you guys feel that you will be aware and you guys will be able to survive? Or do you guys feel like it's just never going to happen or whatever? You know, I just don't feel that if we walk around with the whole whatever on our shoulder that we're going to, you know, survive. Just like pretty much like with the gun laws and all the rest of that stuff. you know, there's just so many things that we have to be addressed, you know, address ourselves about, and we have to prepare ourselves for. And that's just where I go with this. That's why I allow Naima or anyone to come on the show and talk about it, because there's a lot of stuff that I do agree with. Now, what we're hearing about Korea and the United States, do you guys feel that that's not something that we should take serious? Or do you guys feel that there's really nothing we could do about it, so, oh, well? Like, what is your feel about that, Jason? What did you feel about Korea and the United States right now? And you can be honest about it.
To be honest with you, I've been feeling for the last couple of years that something was coming, because we send all our forces over to Iraq and Iran, and we're left here basically defenseless.
Okay. All right. So, Mark, what is your feel about Korea and the United States right now?
You said be honest, right?
Yeah, no, you can be honest. Go ahead.
I really don't give a fuck about what's going on in Korea and America right now.
Okay. Enrique, what's your opinion on Korea and United States?
I think something's going to happen. I think the United States is already prepared for it, because you notice.
Okay.
With Iraq, you know, there was a lot of propaganda, a lot of build-up, and blah, blah, blah. But if you notice with China, as much, because you notice China is doing the very same thing. They're doing a whole lot of talking, a lot of propaganda. But, you know, the United States is being very quiet almost, to the point where it's kind of scary. So it's like they have something under their belt, and they're just waiting. And I think China kind of knows it too, because, you know, if anybody knows the history of that like, country, they're not really – they're like do or die girls, you know what I'm saying? They're going to say something, then they're going to do it. But if you notice, they've been doing a lot of barking. United States has been quiet. So they're kind of at a standstill, because I think they kind of don't know where United States is at. Or maybe there's a lot of behind the scenes, which I know there is a lot, that we don't know about. And maybe that's the reason why it is at a standstill now. Because I don't think the United States is going to be sleepy, because we're too greedy of a nation for just us to be bypassed and just chilling. So who's to say that we weren't building stuff over in Iraq just for this purpose? You know what I'm saying? Who's to say none of that is going on? But that's neither here nor there.
Can
I say something without I didn't mean to interrupt you, Jasmine, if you were going to say something, but something that just ran across me. For the naysayers and for the ones in radio land listening on a computer, whatever, that don't believe that something is not going to happen, or that there is an underlying that type of tea that's going on, that they're consuming you right now with so many realities. They're consuming you with so many things that are pointless, that other shit, that shit's about to happen, shit's about to get real. I'm going to post a link to a newscast in the official ballroom in a minute that shows pre-made coffins that can fit up to a family of four people that have been set aside for a casualty or some type of war or some type of collection of bodies that's getting ready to happen. And they've already had these coffins made already from years ago. And they're still in production now. And there's a field down in North Carolina. There's another place in Virginia. I'm going to post a link so y'all can get it. And it's an actual real news person who did an investigation who went up and saw these coffins. They look like I call them Tupperware. Don't read me, but I'm old school. They look like the plastic containers that you get from, like, Target or Walmart. You know, you put clothes. You know what I'm saying? Like them Tupperware,
right.
them tubs or whatever. They kind of put you in mind of that, but bigger, and they're coffins. And the news person, the reporter who was walking through the field where they were set up at, because it was a private property, the way they were set at on two different locations, it said that they're preparing for some type of war, some type of something that's drastically getting ready to change way of living and everything on this earth as you know it.
Well,
that's why as you get into it, they're consuming you on TV with so much irrelevant shit to keep you distracted from what the real shit is going on.
Let me tell you something. For those of you that know or don't know, whatever, in my household, we have a weapon. We have a gun. And from time to time, you know, we may, you know, go do target practice and stuff like that at some of the local, you know, shooting ranges here. You know, just as a hobby. You know, just do some target practices and stuff like that. But do you guys know that in the past, I would say maybe 60 days, that throughout the whole state, and I just know this as of Florida, that it has become so hard to find bullets for our guns. It's not just for the one gun, it's for all the guns. That buying bullets now has become so hard because people, ever since what happened, you know, with the Sandy Hook thing, whatever, people have bought weapons and guns in the bulk. People are buying guns and weapons, and they are storing those bullets like they're storing canned goods because they're preparing for something that's going to happen. When you go to a gun shop now here in Florida, and it's very easy to buy a gun here in Florida, by the way, you don't have to, you know, pretty much don't need anything, you know, just an ID and they just do a background check on you. But bottom line is, when you sit here and, you know, you try to buy, you know, just a gun to even just do target practice with, I mean, bullets, you cannot find it. People are storing bullets, you know, by the bulk. It's really becoming, like, so hard, and that's because people feel that something is going to happen majorly. And it's not just the girls. These are people in general. And, you know, I'm surprised that, you know, like, the police and stuff, you know, they're able to find them. It's really, really getting hard. It reminds me of when we had hurricanes here in Florida. We can always find, you know, find milk and find eggs and, you know, find meats and stuff, but when the hurricanes come and everything, it's so hard to find milk and eggs. Just like in New York, I know it was so hard for you guys to find gas after the hurricanes hit. It just reminds me of that. You have to keep calling and calling, and then when you do go, they only let you buy one set. They won't let you buy them in the bulk. I mean, it's really, really hard.
They've been doing that since 2008.
Oh, Dave's still on the phone?
They've been doing what since 2008?
They've been stockpiling guns and ammo since 2008, and then they doubled on it in 2012. They've been doing it ever since Barack Obama got elected.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say that.
I'm not being serious about it. I'm just saying. They've been doing it since 2008. They doubled up on it in 2012.
Yeah, but
with these new introduction of these bills that I know.
Exactly,
they did a lot of
exactly.
With these new presidential orders that they signed, yeah, they have been going a little bit even more haywire. And it's not because they think it's something going to happen. They think that
it's honestly just
people that's really thinking that somebody's going to come to your door, knock on your door, and take your goddamn guns and your bullets.
Right.
Well,
that's
something happening. You know, no one's saying nothing supernatural.
So, Jasmine, let me say that because, you know, I was going to purchase a gun because I was trying to decide if I wanted a revolver or a shotgun for home protection. Somebody told me a shotgun was better, blah, blah, blah. But in saying all this, when I went to the gun store, you know, I was surprised to see that, A, there was a whole lot of people in there, and B, the guy was saying that because of the government in there, people are afraid of the regulations are going to happen, that a lot of people have been buying guns. A lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
and they said that, like, the certain gun I was looking for was on back order. And he was saying that you can call around to a lot of the different gun stores in Baltimore, or even in D.C., you're not going to find it because it's on a lot of guns, even bullets, like you said, are on back order. So I was like, oh, okay. And, you know, they try to make it hard. They're trying to make it harder for you to obtain a gun, so that's why a lot of people are getting them now. I mean, to be honest, that's why I'm, like, purchasing now, too.
Okay, just for that situation, and I've always said this because I've been in many rooms with people saying stuff like this, and I always have to ask the same question. Are y'all not aware if people are really going to do this, if people are really going to do what, you know, knock on your door, take your guns, or whatever the case may be, Have you seen the United States military? We don't exactly own people. We own flying fucking death machines. Drones. M16s are nothing. We own drones. We own tanks. We own Bushwick. We don't. It's very rare that you see hand-to-hand combat, but we own the largest military in the known world, probably the known fucking galaxy. We own
y'all
the largest military in the known world.
Y'all talking about going to stores and buying guns. I bought my gun in the city. I mean,
and that's the thing. I'm not against people saying that they bought a gun, but it's who they buy the gun against. They're not buying the gun against somebody else. They're buying guns against the United States government. To which my question is, what the fuck do you think you're going to do against a Tomcat fighter? It's a jet. It's specially designed to take on a certain amount of responsibility. It does not matter. I don't care. We own an Air Force. We own a Navy. We own an Army. And we own the most skilled soldiers in the known world. What the fuck do these people think they're going to do with a shotgun? If they want to kill
you, let me tell you something.
You'll
die fighting then, honey. It's better to have that than not to have anything else, whether they come in there to get your ass or if it's your next-door neighbor wanting to come in there to kill you because they got to feed their children
now that I
or they got to eat or something like that or they want to rob you.
I live in Chicago.
To have
I live
it
in England, and everybody
lives.
I'd
rather go fighting than to go and I don't have anything at all. That's just how I feel.
The majority of people that, you know, we go target practicing with and stuff like that, a lot of them are saying, you know, they do bring up the whole military thing, but a lot of people are not really bringing up the fact that they're buying these weapons or they're buying, you know, stocking up on ammo because of the military or the government. They're afraid of what society is going to do. You know, society has a tendency of just acting wild, you know, as soon as something happens. You know, they want to go looting and burning shit down and, you know, tearing up cars and breaking into people's houses. They just want to just go crazy. So that's what people are doing, is to protect their homes and to protect their investments and stuff. And that's where a lot of it comes from. We have a call at 347-339. You're on the air.
Yeah, hello?
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 Yes, hello? Hello? Hello?
Now, this is the part where you go past that.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes.
We can hear you, caller.
All right. I got something to say towards about the whole heart situation and the military thing. All right. Now, Naima was on the right track about that whole thing, but she kind of got lost when she was talking about the whole tsunami and earthquake thing. That really didn't have nothing to do with it. Which I got to really think about is that they got some shit set up they got some things set up all over the world. Those are real weather machines. Them things are really doing things. You feel me? And as far as that army go, man, the U.S. military, yeah, we good. We strong. But, man, them people across the sea, they ready. And them coffins that y'all talking about, that's the FEMA camps. And them coffins is out there in the Midwest in an underground city. And if I'm lying, and if y'all think I'm lying, y'all could go to YouTube. Mike Wisely, get in on that dude. He's speaking that real stuff. You feel me? And it's definitely out there, and it's definitely about to happen. And that's why they got them coffins. They got thousands upon thousands upon thousands of them coffins that's stretching miles long. They're waiting. They're patiently waiting for that one moment. And when everything hits the fan, we're not going to be involved in that plan. So this is why the ammunition and why the canned goods and everything is being stocked up. Because we're not going to be involved in that. You know, we're not involved in them plans. Them caskets is for us. That's what them caskets is for. The city that's underground is for the rich people, and them caskets is for the common folks like me, you, and everybody in radio land listening to this show. You know, I'm gonna go back into radio land and just listen. But I just wanted to say that. But y'all definitely talking about some real stuff right here, and I like this. I like where this is at right here. That, you know, I like this whole little segment right here. This is really good. Because, you know, I was just telling, you know, the people that I'm sitting here with, that it's really crazy that how y'all bringing this stuff up. And they've been talking about this stuff for almost a decade now. You know, we in 2013, they've been talking about this since 2003. You know, they're trying to say that Obama is the last president, that the next man that's coming in after Obama is going to be the only man that's going to be running in this United States. New World Order. Look at y'all dollar bills that everybody is holding on to so tightly. You know, that word that's in that bin, that's in Latin. That's translated into New World Order. And that's something to chew on.
All right, Colin, thank you so much. Naima, honey, he even sent him a request.
Can I ask y'all a question?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
With all of the New World Order and all the Illuminati and all of that stuff that's going on and that's, you know, surfacing, but, you know, some people see it, some people don't. What, when that does come into play, what is your plan? What do you plan to do?
I've been dying to find that ass out for years now.
Yeah, I really would like to know, because Naima, Kola, you know, even you, Jasmine, you know, with the whole belief and, you know, whether you're stuck in between or not believe, what are y'all plans after that? Because I could give a 2 cents shit now. I'm not going to give a shit when it happens. So I just want to know, what y'all having this, you know, surface that y'all are able to see it, what are y'all plans to do when they do come and take over and Jay-Z and Beyonce are sitting up on the throne with the rest of them and all of that stuff? Because, you know, we buy their music and we listen to their music. We're playing it on YouTube. We're doing all this stuff. So we're actually supporting these people who are part of this New World Order. We're giving them, you know, all of this life and, you know, buying their records off of iTunes. So we're actually supporting them, you know, even with the government. You know, a lot of us are on the system and everything like that. So when that all occurs, they've already got us by the balls already. So what are y'all plans after it occurs? You know, what are y'all plans to do? You know, are y'all going to move to another country, or, you know, what are y'all plans?
Who wants to go?
I hopefully, if the war, when the war happens,
not the war. So the takeover, because we're, you know, this is, you got to remember, even with people with disbelief, when so many people are coming with other things, like you're saying and Nicole is saying, it waves a window of doubt in the mind to people who do not believe at all. Now, I'm not saying me, but I am one of those people who actually starts to open that, and it's actually started to open their mind. But what I'm saying is, what happens, because you're now opening a window of doubt for other people who do believe that this is not true, what happens when it does come into play, if it comes into play? What are your plans if the Illuminati New World Order that y'all were talking about takes over?
Well, the thing about it is, what y'all had to realize is that the Illuminati, the people that you did, who they say is that's in this secret society, when they say, oh, Beyonce, and they say Lil Wayne and all, they had to realize those people are puppets. They had to realize these big wigs, you know, whether it's Donald Trump and all these people, Oprah and all these people who obtain wealth and are wealthy and, you know, pass this lifetime that they're going to live, they are puppets. You had to realize there is a master worker behind them. They just call themselves whatever they want to call themselves because they're an organization. But there is definitely somebody else who's pulling their strings. Those are the ones who are hidden, not the ones who are all on the outside flashing the symbols and, you know, flashing the Baphomet, you know, or the Luciferian symbols and things like that. Those people are puppets. The real motherfuckers who you don't see, who you don't see doing the symbolism and who you don't see in the forefront, are the motherfucking ones who's controlling it.
Naima.
What I'm asking is, what are your plans when this all comes into play? Because from what's going on right now, it's already in play, and we're already not able to do anything. Do you have
But there's nothing that can go into play, because the way I look at it as just like with any other religious belief, I look at it as just like the Pentecostals, the Baptists, the Christians, the Catholics, if that's what they believe and that's how they're gaining all their wealth or whatever, and I'm not one who's going into that Illuminati shit. I just believe child, they believe whatever they believe, and if that's what they're doing, that's neither here or there, because that doesn't affect me. My belief is with my higher power. just like their belief is whatever higher power they have. I'm not going to sit here and sell my soul or believe in, you know, pray to someone else and get my gain and wealth or whatever. If that's what they're doing, they're doing. I don't know. I don't care. And I don't even support. Do I truly believe in that Illuminati stuff? Mm-mm. I ain't got nothing to do with that. Do I believe people do that? Yes, I truly believe that there are people that do that. It is past Illuminati. It's people who actually are like cult members that will sit there and do these stupid things in the name of whatever God that they do believe in. That has nothing to do with me. Do not come knocking at my door. You are not going to change Jasmine Couture's day. You have nothing to do with me. If I find out that that's what you believe in, stay a couple of feet away from me. I ain't got nothing to do with you. So that's how I handle that situation. It's just like a person that's just, you know, if you're running around with HIV and you out here sleeping with a whole bunch of people and killing them, I mean, you're doing a lot of stuff that I don't believe in, a lot of stuff I don't want to mingle with. I keep my distance from you. If you're a child pedophile and you over here doing this, stay away from me. You practice stuff that I don't believe in. Just like, you know, even a crackhead or someone who's a racist or anything, you just are not in my circle. You're not in my life. I'm not going to give you life, and I just don't want you around my life. So that's my whole thing when it comes to the whole Illuminati thing. And I don't really call it Illuminati. I just call it that's their spiritual belief, and that's it. We can't really sit here and say that these people don't do this. It's on the news. We see these cult members that are sitting here and they're chopping off people's heads and arms and keeping them in basements and having all these little altars and stuff. People do some of the most craziest fucking things in the world. But there's nothing that we can do personally about it. Just keep your distance away from me. That's my thing about the whole thing. Do I believe that they're going to control the world and all the rest of that stuff? I don't know.
I'll be honest with you, if you really think about it, the government's already controlling the world. So, I mean, it's not the world, but, I mean, they're pretty much controlling most of the stuff that goes on with us financially, you know, health-wise and all of that other stuff. So, I mean, honestly, it is already in play. You know, I just don't know about Illuminati New World Order, but I do know the government holds a hell of a lot of power. So, I will deny that.
I believe you. I also believe, honey, one of these days, I personally believe and one of these days, I'm going to look outside and see a mothership in the sky.
Did you make a movie like The God, Fire in the Sky, to say he was abducted by aliens or something?
Well, they need to take me because I'm a little bit overbeat.
Yeah, I don't want your big ass.
Yeah, I mean, take me to...
Well, they're going to drop you off the
burger. Really carrying like that?
Not mine.
That's Jason Fema's phone.
I think that was
I'm on my house phone, boo, and my phone has never done shows or this show. Wrong phone. Wrong
to lighten the mood, I just want to say that, honey, it's no motherfucking shade. Last week on Scandal, they did not have to leave me hanging like that.
Yeah, that was shade.
When I tell you I cannot wait until tomorrow, Jazzy, to see this. I mean, like, can you believe how that girl chose that coin? She chose that money over her parents. That bitch faced her own kidnapping and everything.
Naima, no shade. I mean, to not be connected with your family mostly, you know what I'm saying, throughout your life or whatever, you don't think that you would have chose the coin? I mean, it was, what, 5 million? What was it, 10 million? What did he get, 20 million?
20.
I think it was like 20 million, right?
It was 20.
Yeah, without a connection. I mean, think about the families that are out here nowadays or people that you know that have been through these things. You know, you have a rapport with yours, so it's a little bit different. But think about the people that you know that have absolutely no connection with their families. Their families have thrown them out. You know, they basically ignored them or, you know, their mothers and fathers was too busy.
But
wouldn't
that
you have taken $20 million? I was on her side.
I was. She was just spoiling the
situation. But that wasn't her situation.
No, there was a situation. Them people wasn't there. You didn't hear her say the nanny was watching her. You know, she wasn't the mother, nor Hollis was around. Neither one of them. The mother, Hollis left the mother. He got five other girls. He got five other wives or five other ex-wives or whatever. And the mother was a single mother. Nobody was there for that girl. The mother was always gone. She was a drunk. You didn't see that on the show? She was barely, she was neglected.
She was.
I would have chosen.
And mind you, at first, the father wasn't using. He wasn't even believing the whole, like, oh, she kidnapped. He was like, look at that, she's acting.
Well, she was, it is.
But you know what?
We found out afterwards that she was, yeah.
You're right. She may have been neglected in some sort of way, but then, you know, a lot of people vent out and do certain things to get the attention, and maybe that's what she was doing. But remember, she turned into a drug addict. She turned into all that stuff. And, you know, That's where the problem lies. With her having those habits and the partying and all the rest of that stuff, she started looking for love in all the wrong places, which a lot of people have a tendency of doing. You know, they just, because they don't want to respect their parents, or because their parents may not be there or whatever, or maybe shower them with money to send them to private schools or whatever. They, you know, I mean, I can understand what you're saying with that.
Oh,
but again,
at
the end of the evening, you know, I don't think that $20 million is going to, you know, with her track record and everything that she was going through, child, it would have been $20 million. She ain't going to find happiness.
Wow.
Because if she could find it with an unlimited supply, she damn for sure ain't going to find it with $20 million damn dollars.
True.
I'm not going to be I grew up in family. I grew up in a family like that. So I know what it's like to have both parents working and being raised by a bunch of babysitters. It's no shade. But when you get to that point where you say, okay, well, this is what they built. They built, bitch, how the fuck you going to get $20 million? Bitch, I worked to get this $20 million that you begging me for. I guess because we live in different societies, we got different outcomes for it. I'm a little bit more related to the parents because, bitch, you can't ask me for $20 million had I not worked to get this $20 million damn dollars. Had I not put my
money in the grandstone. You start becoming a little spoiled brat. Then, honey, that's what's going to wind up happening and stuff.
Right.
But, I mean, child, that was it. But besides that whole thing, it's going to be a lot with this mole. Olivia, I seen a preview already. Olivia knows that Miss Singh did not commit suicide. She's telling his wife that he did not commit suicide. He was at the mall. So she already knows he. There's a lot of stuff that's going to happen tomorrow.
I just think I need to see it start watching this without giving it too much life. I'm going to have to come see this.
Please, if you're going to start watching it, don't do that. Start watching it from episode one. Don't do that to yourself.
Okay. So I got to sit all day and watch it on demand. What's it on?
Whatever
three?
You got to do.
Season three?
It's on.
I had to do it with my new show.
Season one is on Netflix, and you can go on ABC.com, or you will go on Hulu Plus for season two.
Right. It's too many places. I had to do it with when Jason got me addicted to Smash. I had to do it with that. So.
Bitch, I didn't get you addicted no
damn you did.
Smash. Should have been watching Smash from the beginning. Like you smashed them sandwiches.
Oh, my God.
Child, she mad because her motherfucking back page ad don't want to pay up no more.
Child, I'm on
bitch,
front
you
page
told him,
now.
You shouldn't
thanks.
Have told him that.
I'm on front page now, thanks.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
All right, for that $29.95. Don't let it be a Chinese food.
No free advertisement, bitch.
Yeah, I sound like I got a person.
Anyway, anybody got any plans for this weekend?
Yeah, I'm going to blow Dave's house up with this missile.
It's a party hard, baby.
What?
Yeah, I'm going on the party like it's the last day of my life, no sir.
I was thinking about going to Indianapolis. Because
it could be. Oh, no. All right,
yeah,
so I want to say my goodnight. Good night. I enjoyed talking to everybody. This was a very good show tonight.
Yeah, I
look forward to the recap show with Kelly
on Monday
and the tea party on Tuesday, and I'll be with Jasmine on Wednesday, God willing, and I'll be alive. Thank you.
Don't let the aliens
thank
bite
you.
Thank
you, Naima.
Did you just say don't let the aliens get you?
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Kevin, say goodnight.
Night-night.
Good night, everybody.
Phone is back. Good night, Mark.
Dave, breathing.
Enrique.
I just want to say, everybody have a great night. Just don't ever say that you've never known anything about HIV or the dangers of, because I think tonight was a very big lesson. So for those out there, and I know a lot of people do listen, you can say you heard it here first. Let somebody else's mistake be a lesson for you. I think somebody said that before. But by all means, please. Play safe.
Thank you, Enrique. Kelly, are you here?
I've been here the whole time. My phone was on mute.
Girl, that was your phone making noise.
No, it wasn't. My phone was on mute the whole time, so it wasn't my phone making noise.
Michi, you want to say goodnight? Jason.
As always, it's been a pleasure. I love you all for loving me. Until next week, be safe, be blessed. The life you save may be your own. Wrap it up.
Oh, why are y'all always repeating Kelly's statement? Go ahead, Kelly. Say it the way you're really supposed to be saying it.
They said it already. So all I want to tell the girls is tonight, honey, is don't drop that dun-dun-dun. Don't drop that dun-dun-dun. Oh, don't drop that dun-dun-dun. And if you drop it, wrap it up.
Listen, who were you reading on Facebook a few minutes ago?
We already discussed that. We talked about that already. You see it at the end of it. I read them and then I said, you know, on the other hand, you know. Happy birthday. Happy birthday, Tubelos.
You were too much.
Yes.
Is there anything going on this weekend?
Philly First Friday. And if anybody's in New York City and y'all want to come out to a Kiki function, the Poochies is having a house ball this Saturday in Harlem on 136th Street between Lenox and 7th Avenue. That's the 2 of the 3 train to 135th Street. And I think it starts about 5 o'clock.
All right, y'all. Yeah, thank you so much for tuning in to tonight's show. And don't forget to tune in Monday for the weekend recap, Tuesday for the tea party, and we'll be back next Wednesday for the State of Emergency show. I hope somebody got touched by tonight's episode. And, you know, just everybody kind of tone it down a little bit. Everybody have a good weekend. Be safe. Take care of yourselves, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.